ABM8.
In a world racked by mediocrity, two angry heroes from New Jersey have returned from 20 years of self-imposed exile. Their mission, to blaze a trail of freedom in defiance of all odds. Inexpensive surreal comedy is their weapon. Smiting the obsequious and vanquishing oppression is their calling. Their lives have reconverged at a time when the universe needs them most to make one final stand. They have been called so wildly pathetic as to be insane, branded ignorant of history and a host of other things, and found guilty of human rights violations. This is the story of a man named Brady, who was bringing up three boys of his own. Where Indian fights are colorful sights, and nobody takes a lickin'. Where Paleface and Redskin both turn chicken. Love, exciting, and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. I don't actually know where I'm going with this. But they do. There's an exit ramp up ahead. Abandon reality. It's time for the Anything But Monday Show. So you think I'm driving your car? Sing karaoke from my boss? Got my mind in the car. Don't forget to pick up the dough. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's got to stop. Saturday, Sunday, I can't.
And welcome one and all to the Anything But Monday Show. I am Frank Edward Nora, along with
Mad Mike Masters.
He can't say it, but I can. Mad Mike Masters, and we are here for another great show.
Why can't I even say my own name?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. It could be a psychological like affect. We don't know. But
what if we just started a fire in the studio and just got things going that way?
You lit another one of these candles?
Yes. The cinnamon candles going tonight?
We realize that we must light a kind of a girly type candle with cinnamon or lavender to do a good show.
This is arousing and warming.
It's arousing and warming.
Correct.
So you will be aroused and warmed by the amazing content of this show tonight.
So this is the first show after we've basically spent the better part of, almost 2 days harassing, haranguing, belittling, pandering to, attacking, accosting, whatever you want to call it, numerous people we've never met before at the PodCamp NYC.
PodCamp NYC. It was.
Oh, it was.
We're past it now.
We're past it.
Really? Ooh, wow. So, how was it for you?
Good for you.
But we want to just say that. How do we want to work this? We're pre-recording this show, correct?
Are we?
Yes. In order to get this show done,
we had to
do this show before the PodCamp. In order to get it out on Monday, because we have very, very, very tight schedules. We wanted to get ready for the show.
Right.
Yes. So we want to say hello to all the people that we met there. Hopefully a lot of you are listening to the show right now, right? How do we do? How was our display? I'm wondering, how was our booth?
Yeah. What did you think of the whole display, the whole interaction? You know, we're going to actually be playing. We should be playing a lot of the stuff we recorded from people on the show. But it's going to have to wait. No,
till next week.
So ABM 9 is when we're actually going to have all the live clips of all the mishaps and, you know, and the police dragging us out of there and the, you know, all kinds of, you know, horrendous outrage we caused while we were there and everything else, right? Also, the nude photos of our booth babe are also going to be on there.
No, that's not going to happen.
We can't put
There will be no nude photos of anyone. Everything will be very normal. Yes, it's going to be a very, very normal appearance. Nothing, no nudity, nothing strange. Be very normal, very nice. We're just going to tell people about the show, get people excited about the Anything But Monday show.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to build a water park on the other side of this mountain.
So we're building water parks now?
Come in your swimsuit.
Yeah.
Frank.
Yeah.
As I've said before.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
We want to tell people the story of the show. We met in college. We had a radio show. We a comedy radio show. Then we started a humor magazine. And our media empire was growing in the towards the end of the 1980s, and it all blew up and exploded. And we finally brought it back.
Because?
because of podcasting.
Yeah.
And also because of
some insane desire to fulfill some incomplete part of our life that we decided we had to fulfill.
Yes.
Is that why?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that people can see, I mean, this is episode number 8. We've done a huge amount of content. I don't even know how much content we've done so far. Like 20 hours of content.
20 hours.
I think that literally, it has been 20 hours of content.
You know.
And we've only just scratched the surface of the stuff we want to do on this show, the kind of stories we want to tell, the kind of features we want
to
do.
We encourage people to go back and listen to some of the shows.
Absolutely.
That are up here because, you know, we have the podcast, you actually got a code that you can do that now.
They got a code?
Yeah.
We're giving out the code.
Go back in time, Frank, and find that out. I told you that.
Let me write something down. Give out code.
Don't forget to give
code. Give out code.
Right, so they can actually go back and
give out the code.
Right.
So these people are listening on the code right now.
Yes, yes. A special secret code that we gave out at the show.
Yes.
So people can hear and experience the show before becoming a complete premium member of our program.
Yes.
This is a pioneering venture for many ways.
Yes, definitely. Very pioneering. Not the least of which is our Conestoga wagon.
Our Conestoga wagon?
Yeah, we're pioneers. Look. It's right out there. You don't see it?
It looks more like a buckboard.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I thought about that.
There's a lot of great stuff coming up on the show tonight. We have an interview with a fellow podcaster.
Yes.
And that's going to be coming up.
Yeah, that is for the podcast Silent Universe, which we'll be talking
about. Silent Universe.
Out there. And I'll be questioning about, you know, later on in the show, you know, about why he would name a show like that a Silent Universe.
Being that it's not silent, like a silent movie.
No, what I understand is that this guy, I'm going to ask him when I have him on the show later on.
Yeah.
Okay, how in the world do you make a podcast successful by focusing on the world of the deaf? You know, which is why, which I have to say is a bit demented and sick if you ask me, taking money from poor, hapless deaf people who couldn't even hear your show in the first place. Unless they have like a Braille computer or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he makes that work, but we're going to find out later on when he's on the show.
We'll find out about that and all of our great features coming up and a lot of interesting things as well.
What's going to be up in the show? For instance, let's give him an idea of some of the things that are going to be coming up in the show today.
Well, we have a great audio from the past coming up. I don't think we've really talked about Physics Phil too much on the show. Have we mentioned Physics Phil, really?
Yeah, these are back in the days of Drew University.
We had many adventures back in the day.
The feature is called Real Life Insanity. Right, the true life adventures
of Mike. That's one feature. The other audio from the past is actual audio clips from the past.
While we were on those insane adventures of ours.
The other adventure feature is more when we talk about the adventures.
Right.
We have some of these features overlap in some ways, but Physics Phil was a guy that we met in college, and he was sort of a strange, nerdy guy, and he wound up in a lot of our productions, and we wound up being like this guy's best friend.
Yeah, the prototypical this kid that was in his own little world.
Yeah.
At the time, and very, very bizarre, very strange, and we had to go in and basically assault his world.
He
wanted to be left alone, wanted to fly under the radar. I mean, went in like Smith. He was he was meant to blend in.
Yeah.
He was meant to be left alone.
His name is Phil Smith.
Okay, so go look him up.
Look him up. There's about 800,000 Phil Smiths out there.
Right.
Believe me, I've been trying to find this guy. It's impossible. Do you want to go into Phil Smith thing now?
Did we meet him at the other end?
Yeah.
Wait, this came up for me.
The other end.
Do you ever have those moments when you're walking around and it was something you totally blotted out of your memory, and all of a sudden it just jumps back into your head? I thought of the other end the other day. You know, at the other end, this is a true place that existed.
Well, let's tell me what the other end was.
The other end, this is what I was getting to that.
Yeah.
Okay, at the university, it was kind of this counterculture type underground pub.
Yeah.
They had it at the other, it was the double entendre here was, it was called the other end because it was at the other side of the university.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, it was called the other end for another reason, Frank, because basically the entire homosexual community of the university hung out there at the time. So when we went and did our stand-up routine there, remember we did a stand-up routine there? You remember that night we did a duel?
Yes, we actually did a stand-up routine, and I remember some of the things we did. How did we do that?
I don't know why. It was open night, mic night.
Open mic night at the other end.
At the other end. You know, so we go there. And
I think it was in the basement of the French house, right?
Was it?
It was somewhere over there.
Whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
You and I went there and did the stand-up routine. Of course, you know, we were the only straight people in the place. We didn't know that at the time.
I don't remember that.
Because at the way it is right now, it was definitely different. Back then, the minority population of this very liberal arts, supposedly liberal arts college, which is very conservative, white, America.
Yeah.
You know, they were underground. Like, there was, like, you know, literally, you know, 8 or 12 black people on the whole campus, 6 or 7 homosexuals that are out on the whole campus.
Yeah.
So whenever you tell the picture in the yearbook, there's like 5 people there that would admit this. Now, you go back to the same university, it's like 75% minority.
Yeah.
You know? There's a gay house now. There's a black house now. It's literally the entire thing has been just basically converted over. You know, everybody's out now. They're all out. You know,
they're all out, but they're all like segregated now. They have like a house for each type of person.
No, the whites have their own house now too.
The White House,
the White House on the campus as well too. They do. They spent a fortune to build all these houses.
Is that a better situation though? Because I mean, when we were in college, there were a couple like gay guys. In fact, there was one gay guy that lived on my freshman year there. This guy Dale Peck, he's famous.
Right.
He lived on our floor.
Right.
He wasn't in any gay house. He was he was integrated with everyone. Everyone knew him.
He was just in your bedroom.
He became
in your bedroom a lot.
He became a very famous gay novelist.
Yeah.
And you know, would it be better if all the gays are in a house together instead of people trying to just mingle? Like, we didn't give a crap. Like, I don't know the guy. I didn't care. He was just like this guy. He's a guy Dale. Hey, what's up, man? You know.
Right.
Now today everyone's like, I am black. I am gay. I am this. I am that. Is that a better world? I don't think so.
The answer to your question is yes.
Yes, it's a better world.
It's a better world.
So you want segregation.
I want segregation. I want it back in full force, especially on university campuses.
I am against that. I think people should just be cool and just hang out with each other.
Those guys are fine.
Now, wait a second. That's a bit insulting to the gay community.
I'm not
insulting the LGBT community again. Okay?
What the hell?
I already told you. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. LGBT.
First of all.
You're insulting the LGBTs.
First of all. First of all.
Yeah.
First of all.
Yes.
Let's not make it out to our first-time listeners that I'm some kind of racist, bigot, whatever it may be. I am not. Okay. We have certain feelings about certain things.
Yes.
First of all, I'm all against, you know, I feel
good about everyone, by the way. I like everybody.
You freaking kiss ass, man. You're such a freaking dick.
You dick.
Look, I do like everyone. I'm not going to look at someone, oh, this guy's gay.
Believe me, I love everyone as well, too. I just think that political correctness has gone way too far. You were saying a few shows back, it's one, right? It's taken over the planet. Nobody can say shit about anybody anymore, and everybody takes it the wrong way.
Yes.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So, what, you know, we were constantly assaulted and accosted on this university the entire time we're here. Our rights were being violated the entire time.
Our free speech rights were
being
violated.
Our free speech, we couldn't say a damn thing about anybody.
Because we wrote a magazine and we put some stuff in there that people thought was, like, you know, against certain groups and everything. And, you know, so there was a big free speech battle.
Right.
You know.
Which we won.
We were slapped with a written reprimand.
Right. We were labeled human rights violators.
Yes. We are officially human rights violators.
Right. But those records have been burned in a fire, so we lucked out about that.
I guess so, yeah.
Coincidentally, the building that housed all these records was burned to the ground. I don't know how it happened. I had nothing to do with it.
No, you didn't, and I didn't either.
Exactly.
Don't imply anything, because it's not true. Don't imply things like that just for comedic purpose.
You got nothing in court. You don't got the bookkeeper. You got nothing.
They got nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You were a man. You would have done it now. You don't got a thing.
So anyway, I want to give you my impression of the other end, because I didn't think of it as just this big gay hangout. The other end was a place on campus.
It was the RC-Farsi place. Okay, that's what it was.
But normally on the campus, there's the UC, the University Center, and you walk in there, and it's like walking into a freaking morgue. You know, there's people like
not anymore.
There's people like paralyzed in front of this TV set. On those, you know,
by the ping pong tables,
a ping pong table and a pool table, and there used to be some video games, and now who knows whatever happened to those?
It's been taken over.
You know,
Black Student Union owns the UC now.
Really?
If you walk into the old University Center, it's the Black Student Union. It's
so
like the Black, aka the Black Panthers in disguise. You go in there now. I swear to God, you go in there now, and I'm friendly.
When have you got in there? I haven't gone back.
I've gone back a few times. I'm friendly. I walk in there, minding my own business. You know, I'm friendly. Hey. They look at you like I'm invading their territory.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Bloods and the Crips.
Maybe because you're old and they're young. They look at you like,
you're old.
What's this friggin' 50-year-old guy doing hanging out in our... Is he some kind of creep? I don't think it's a racial thing. I think it's an age thing. You know?
It could be that too.
So I think you're just misinterpreting that.
Whatever.
When did you go? I used to go back there until I reached a certain age, and I realized like I'm too old like to walk around the campus anymore.
How many generations have graduated since we've been there? You know, a generation of students has graduated since we've been there.
When you get to a point where you are older than a lot of the students' parents, it's time to stop hanging out at the college.
Do not go back.
It's over.
Right.
It's done.
Right.
But anyway, this place, as opposed to the university center, it was you walk downstairs, it was in a basement. And it was darkly lit, and there were these candles on the table. Didn't we blow up some of the candles at one point?
I don't know what.
We threw caps. I think we had a roll of caps. We did this. I'm telling you.
A roll of caps, like those rolls of paper,
yeah,
caps?
Like the red like
cap
ribbon.
Guns?
Yeah, like a cap gun, red ribbon with a little like gunpowder the kids play with.
Yeah.
I think we
which is a great toy for kids, by the way.
I do believe that you and I, this is exactly something we would do. We threw a roll of caps in one of the candles, and it literally exploded and shattered.
Right.
The candle shattered, and it was like started.
Oh, no!
It was. The glass shattered, and I think the liquid wax started spilling, and like a flame started spilling. I think we just like patted it out.
Was the glass shrapnel everywhere because of that?
The thing just like because the explosions kind of just cracked the glass.
Right.
But
and we were allowed to stay after that happened.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really was like doing it. But then I think it was the night we did our comedy routine.
Right.
And I just remember I had that old coat where I had tons of stuff in there.
Right.
And you had a bottle of 409, like cleanser.
Yeah.
And you put water in it, and your idea was, I don't know if we did it, but you said you're going to spray it, and you're like, oh, the old 409 in the eyes trick, and you're going to spray 409 in my eyes.
Right.
And then I reached into my coat, I pulled out the number 2. I had this giant number 2 in my coat. I'm like, oh, the number 2, what's in my coat? Oh, the number 2.
You just keep pulling stuff out of your jacket that we
had. Yeah, the soy sauce you used to carry around. Yeah,
the stuff that we basically acquired. Around campus,
I used to carry soy sauce around a la choy in my jacket. I used to just sit. I would be hanging out somewhere, just start drinking some soy sauce. And one time, it broke in my pocket. Can you imagine this broken glass and soy sauce all over the inside of your jacket pocket?
Okay, what you learn about Frank
pleasant.
Mishaps are a daily part of Frank's life.
Yes,
every time,
definitely.
You know,
I'm trying to cut down on them, but they do happen occasionally.
You know what I thought about the other day too? I thought about that time when we were in for student government.
Oh,
do you remember when we ran for president and vice president of the university? Was it?
Yeah, it was a whole university. Like the president or the student president, whatever.
Of the SGA, the Student Government Association.
Student Government Association.
So here's our bright idea. We're going to run and we're going to show these conservative commies that are there.
Yeah.
That we're gonna this is how you're going to run the school, right?
Yeah.
And of course, at that time, we were the universally hated, universally loved at the college. So, but here's the deal. The scary thing for the administration was there's a chance that Masters and Nora might actually win this thing.
Yes.
Right. So the rules were they would never allow more than 3 candidates. Right.
Yeah.
3 candidates to run. 3 different parties could run. Right.
Yeah.
But for some reason this year, 9 candidates or something like that, basically submitted to run. Okay. And the dean goes, who loved me, who knew me by my first name. Now, when a dean knows you by your first name, it's not a good thing. All right. Says, and she was a woman. All right. She says, we're going to allow it this year that all 9 candidates run on purpose because they knew if they just diluted the vote enough, we may not be able to get in. Right. And then we're going to have a runoff after that. On top of that. So we made it to the runoff, and then we got beat in the runoff. We came in like 3rd, whatever it was. But I never forget the day before the election that she circulated. Remember that letter that she put out?
Yeah.
To all the students basically implying, do whatever you do, do not vote for Masses and Nora because you'll have havoc on the university. Do not vote for them, right?
Yeah, I remember I actually gave a speech as the vice president. I remember going up in front of huge crowd of people, and I had these prepared statements, and I said, today, a terrible thing happened. And I talked about this incident.
Right.
The dean of students of this college circulated a letter, discouraging people to vote for us, and this is unfair. And I remember giving that speech vaguely.
Right.
And I remember there were all these technical problems, like the microphone wasn't working, and then my voice was booming. But I do remember that.
But here's the great.
Back in, what was that, like May of 87? Or no, like March of 87?
Yeah, here's the great thing, because I've said on this show before, our lives are like Animal House Plus in college.
Yeah.
All right? I get so pissed because back in the day, Frank knew me back then. I had the shortest fuse in the entire world. I was the most, I would fly off the handle at the simplest thing, like the prototypical high-headed Sicilian Italian. It happened. I if it went against me, I'd flip out, right?
Yeah.
So I get this letter, I go ape shit. I go ape shit when I get
still
this letter.
Do you have this letter anywhere?
Well, I don't know, man, but I got the letter, I go ape shit, right?
Yeah.
So I go, what's my bright idea? I go right down to the dean's office, okay? I barge in the front door, and her secretary's there, right there, and I just go right past her. She's like, you can't go in there. I literally, with my foot, kicked the door in of the dean's office, and from behind her desk, this poor little woman jumps up. She's startled, right? Yeah. She said, this woman was named Jane Newman.
Yes.
She was about 5 feet tall. Okay. she's like, postmenopausal. She's about 55 years old at the time. She stands up. I bust in and I go on this tirade, like spewing spit at it. I was, how could you fucking do this to us? And I'm screaming, yelling, and pointing in her face for 10 minutes, right? Until I was out of breath, right? Yeah. And then they led me out. After that,
Who led you out? Security?
I don't know. Security never got there. I got out of time. But the thing was, I screamed, yelled, and I went out of there. For some reason, the secretary liked me because, she was the one always typing notices of us.
Yeah.
Sending the, please cease and desist this, please cease and desist that. Man. So she knew me really well. So she let me get out of there. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I lost my cool. But Jane Newman's credit, she stood there and took it, man. She just basically was very calm and she didn't flinch and she didn't whatever. Because she must have thought I was going to kill her. I was like vehemently like going off the hook, and I left there. And so that was the whole big thing for that day. And then we ended up not winning the election, but still we made a point.
Yeah.
Now, see,
everyone, we had all this fun. We were living this weird, like movie-like existence, right. A fun existence. And then we, by the end of the 80s, we were sort of expelled into the real world and had to have real lives from 1990 until now.
Today, right. So
this is our last stand.
This is it.
Bring it back.
This is going to make it this time.
Yeah,
this is the big project.
Yes,
which you are now listening to. So so we from time to time we always gal our listeners with some of our great stories from the past.
It was a lot of fun, and
it was a classic time.
And it was after that we actually built this company and this magazine. If you go into like a comic book website or guides, you'll see Anything But Monday. Look up Anything But Monday online, you'll see you see something else, but we don't know about.
We're not going to talk. I don't want to even go there again. You look up Anything on Monday online. I don't want to even go there.
I have no more updates, but there's this reality show supposedly with this band called Anything But Monday, and hopefully it just sort of goes away. We don't know what's going on with that, but we actually publish this magazine, and Anything But Monday magazine, and it's in the comic book guys. People sell it on eBay still, and we were this close, to having this major media empire. We had the radio, the magazines.
MTV was interested in us.
Everything was right there. But by the end of 1980, it was almost like something that could only exist.
Those
in
are
the
back
80s.
In my hairy days.
Yeah,
remember how hairy I was?
Now
back?
you shave your whole body now.
Right. I used to be so hairy that once I took my shirt off at the beach, and Jane Goodall approached me to do a documentary on me.
Hey,
that is how hairy I was.
That's pretty hairy.
I literally was like the totally overgrown hairy Italian guy, but I had like the long hair, the 80s hair, my arms, everything now, but I had to get rid of all that. I just couldn't do it.
See, that's what I'm thinking. I think maybe our lives were just like this 80s fantasy that could not exist, that could not cross over into 1990.
Yeah. What I mean? Somebody out there that we met at the show is a movie producer of some sort, you got to let me sit down with Frank and tell the story. We have it all written down. I mean,
we've only scratched the surface.
You cannot make this stuff up. It could be two films. And if you do it right,
it could be a trilogy.
Just film it all at one time.
Yeah.
Just like Lord of the Rings.
It could be like the Lord of the Monday. What if we're Anything But Monday. So the Lord of the. What would we call it? The Anything But Monday, the movie, or.
I don't know. The trilogy?
Anything But Trilogy?
I don't know, Anything But Another College Trilogy, something along those lines, right?
But yeah, I mean, that definitely would be good. And so now we're back, and it's kind of weird after such a long span of time, like over 17, 18 years, to be back doing this. But it's great, and podcasting makes it possible because we started off in radio. We started off doing a radio show. And we kind of abandoned that because you can't just go out and like buy your own radio station back then. People don't understand that. People take podcasting for granted. When we would have thought something like this would be the most amazing thing ever. I literally could not imagine that something like this, that you could just sit in your basement or in a small office like we have here and produce a radio show for everyone in the world to hear. It just would have been impossible. Mm-hmm. Even people on regular radio, they do a show and it's for one city or for one local market, right? This is incredible. And so we have gone back to our roots in radio and we're very excited about it. We hope all of you come along for the ride. Because it's going to be a real wild ride.
So what's going to be up to, as we go along here, what are some of the things we're going to have on this night's show tonight? We have an interview. We talked about the interview that's going to be coming up.
We're going to hopefully you have an ABM insult of the week. Every week we give another insult that you can use on your friends.
Yeah, I have one from the haven't used it yet, but I have one. So yeah,
we have the piss poor movie trailers coming up. I have another two great one of these is like, you wouldn't even believe it.
All right.
I could literally, one of these movie trailers, when I saw it, I could not believe that this is something that exists.
How can it get any worse than the ones we saw it or we've seen already?
This is a whole nother level.
Well, we're doing a lot of weekly world perceptions and ponderings, so we'll be doing that.
Maybe some news.
Some news we'll be doing. We always get into that. We do that a lot. We have a lot of different things. Horoscope is also a very thing. Ask Mr. Nora? Answer me this, Mr. Nora. Frank with a very pointed question. He has to come up with the answer.
Yeah, I have to find that music for those features too. Yeah, I had that somewhere.
That would be good if we had the music set up for that.
Yeah, we still working on our sound effects and our soundboards and our music, but we'll get it there. We'll get there sometime.
Here's a sound effect for you, Frank. Yeah. How do you feel about
you
that?
Dick.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks.
Should be prepared.
Well, here's a sound effect for you.
Yeah. Show me. Give me a.
All right.
Is that violent? That's very violent of you. I just approve of guns.
All right, I'll use my crossbow. That's not the crossbow effect. I don't have the.
They don't want you to use the crossbow, Frank.
Here's the crossbow.
Oh, the crowd doesn't want you using the crossbow. All right.
All right. No more crossbow. All right. All right.
I'll use the crossbow.
Yes. All right.
They're good sound effects when they work.
I know.
Why is it so hot in here all the time? Can one candle throw that much heat? I'm like sweating.
We need the candle. We need the heat to get the show going.
I have a fever, right? I think I must have 101 fever at this point, at least. Oh,
you're burning up.
I'm burning up. Give me a wet rag. You have a wet rag?
No. Drink some of that scotch over there.
Oh, some scotch. Have some scotch.
Have a little scotch.
Yeah. All right. So I'll
drink. Was that from like the first show or the second show? You haven't drank. As you notice, mine is already drank up here.
It's 12-year-old scotch, which is now 12 years old in 6 weeks.
12 years and 12 days old.
Whatever it is.
So I think we're going to take a little musical break, and then we will come back with the interview, chatting with our fellow podcasters.
Yes.
Yes. We're going to be chatting with our fellow podcasters. We are back with our guest. And who is our guest, Mike?
J. Marcus Xavier of Silent Universe.
Yes. Hello. So,
I'm going to try to guess what Silent Universe is. All right.
Now, J. Marcus Xavier, we call you Marcus or we call you J. Or what do we call you?
Marcus is fine.
Marcus,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, Marcus, isn't that a black person's name?
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
So are you?
Yes.
Oh, you are?
Yes, indeed.
Did you know that our program director, Dave Crump, is a black man also?
No, I didn't know that.
You did not know that. See that? You have something in common. More than you knew.
Yes.
You know? Because when I heard your name, when I heard J. Marcus Xavier, I said, this guy sounds like he should be a power forward for the Lakers. You know, why did you change your name to Dr. J or something like that? That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Actually, that was my dad's nickname.
Dr. J was your dad's nickname? Oh, this is too cool. So we're calling you Dr. Dr. J, and as the roller coaster goes by.
Yes, Marcus, can you tell us where are you right now? Yeah, we hear these noises in the background.
I'm actually in the middle of Iraq. If you believe it. No,
they actually have roller coasters. He's in Knott's Berry Farms, Iraq.
Knott's Berry Farm is like a big theme park out there in California, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of next to Disneyland for some unidentifiable reason. It's got more roller coasters.
Why isn't I thought Knott's Berry Farm, they had one in Iraq, too. You just said he was
Knott's Berry Farm, Iraq.
Yeah. And that would end the problems in Iraq right there. You put in Knott's Berry Farms in Baghdad,
yeah.
There'll be no more fun. Who's going to shell Knott's Berry Farms?
That's true.
Just go in there and have fun, you know? You know? What kind of rides?
Get all your stress out.
What kind of rides did you have there? The burning tires ride.
Can we interview you from a roller coaster? That would be a first.
Oh, that would be awesome.
The first on roller coaster interview on a podcast.
Can you imagine that?
Dude, that would be cool.
You know he's going to lose his cell phone.
They're actually getting ready to close though in about 10 minutes. Oh, they're on the way out.
You should be able to get in a ride real quick then because they're closing down.
Go on to Crazy Teacups, and at least that'll be something.
The Crazy Teacups.
Oh, that's on the other one.
Get the lovely sound effects of me vomiting everywhere.
All right, let's get to what's going on with this guy, because I really want to. We have to,
Now, Marcus, you are one of our fellow podcasters.
Is that correct?
And you do a show called Silent Universe at silentuniverse.com.
So I was having this debate before, and I was talking to Frank about this. I don't understand how we make a podcast called Silent Universe work by focusing on the world of the deaf. You know, which I have to say is a bit demented and sick, if you ask me, taking money from poor people, you know, who can't even hear your show in the first place, the poor deaf people. So how do you work it out so deaf people can hear the show? Or do I have it wrong?
What exactly is actually, we're working on kind of this sign language thing where we have, like, aliens and explosions and belly dancers, and it kind of evens out.
Really? Right, this guy's perfect.
Cool. Yeah.
Perfect. So, seriously, Silent Universe is what? So, Marcus, Dr. J, please tell our listeners what Silent Universe is all about.
Silent Universe is kind of a science fiction podcast, but it's not like a talk show format podcast. It's more in the vein of a drama. Like, for example, I guess you would say Star Trek, but it's more closely aligned to, like, maybe something like Battlestar Galactica.
It's a
character-driven drama.
Like Three's Company.
Say again?
Like Three's Company.
Three's Company?
Yeah, like that show.
Kind of works.
Well, it's like in that it's a show.
It's a show.
But basically, this is sort of like an audio drama. And, of course, everyone knows about the golden age of radio with shows like, you know, The Shadow and Dragnet and all those old radio shows. So this is basically... It's not you and your friends sitting around talking about shows. It actually is a fictional thing that's written with sound effects and music. It's like an actual show.
Right.
It's hard to describe, but yeah, because we were listening to it before, and it does sort of seem like, you know, they're in, out in space, they're in spaceships, and it's that's half the battle right there. In space, in spaceships equals good, you know. So just tell us a little bit about what the show is about. Like this, like, we know it's in space, but what are some of the does it take place in, like, the year 3500, 8800? Like, what is the year? What is the settings? Is there aliens? What's going on?
Do you have any mechanical dogs in it, like Boxy?
Yeah.
It actually doesn't have a defined year. That's one of the things I wanted to keep kind of, I guess, out of there, because I didn't want the show to become too immediately dated. I would say, I've heard people estimate, they say it, though, it must be 50 years in the future to, you know, 200 years in the future. Somewhere in between there. But basically the premise is, instead of going like the Star Trek route where we say, well, people, you know, went into space and suddenly became, you know, friendly and jolly and enlightened and all sorts of stuff like that, and they run around in, you know, pajamas in space. I kind of said, well, let's take the opposite approach on that and kind of look at the world today and just kind of project it into the future. What if, for some reason or another, you know, for example, communist China's like, we need to start mining the asteroid belt for natural resources. That would set off a new space race. And kind of the stuff that flows out of there. People are as racist as they've always been, mean as they've always been, you know, self-interested as they've always been. Nothing's different. It just so happens that, you know, they have space vehicles and their weapons are that much more destructive. It's just the story of kind of mankind moving out into space, advancing technologically, but socially, he's actually kind of a little backward.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a dystopian sort of a thing. It's not a very pretty universe. That's why it's called the Silent Universe, because... Mm-hmm. You know, it's not happy-go-lucky or anything like that. It's like, people die, bad stuff goes down. And a lot of stuff that we've seen and heard in history that's horrible that we think would never happen again, you find out if people start to forget about where we've been through and not learn from our mistakes, they just repeat the same crap. It's just in a different different time period.
That's like the same thing with our show. The exact same thing.
Right. We're repeating the mistakes of the past.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We never should have brought anything but Monday back. Yeah.
This show doesn't debunk the fact that the Holocaust never happened, right?
What?
Say again?
The Silent Universe doesn't debunk the fact that the Holocaust never happened, according to Mel Gibson.
What?
But
there's people in there that think that, but as to whether or not the actual event occurred, I I pretty much subscribe to that idea.
It did. Okay.
But not to say that, you know, you can't have like an army of Mel Gibsons from space that have started their own colony. That
Mel Gibsons in space.
I love Christ or something.
All right. Well, you have to write that next episode. Mel Gibson's the army of Mel Gibson clones in space.
That'd be cool. Like the Road Warrior in space. That's great.
You know what I mean?
Now, what I wanted to say is we're going to be playing a short clip of the show towards the end of the interview. Now, how do you produce this show? Because it has actors. There's like a script and like there's music and sound effects. Like, how do you put this all together? Do you have a studio? How would you do that?
Basically, what we have is a cast of voice actors who are from Japan, London, Canada, and the United States, and most of them have their own studios because they're professional voice actors that, you know, when you turn on the TV and you want to hear the ad about the Alco Velvo person, you know, those are the kinds of people that I'm making contact with.
Oh, wow.
I deliver them the scripts, and they record each of their individual lines. They give me a couple takes so that actually when I mix it together, it sounds conversational and not like people are talking at each other but actually to each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mix that together. Then I deliver it to a musician, this guy from the Netherlands that actually was a fan of the show, who just said, hey, you know, I do music. You know, let me work on your show. And I said, let me hear your stuff, and it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I deliver him what's called the naked tracks, just the voice and the sound effects that I mix together on my system, and he puts it to music. And then once we're done with that, we export it as MP3 file and put it on the internet for everyone to listen. And you really can't tell that most of the people are not in the same studio. I think there was only two people in the cast that actually use the same studio. Everyone else is spread over all the United States and, you know, most
that's
of the
amazing,
Western world.
Yeah, I was listening to it, and I really thought everyone was just sitting there in the same studio, and, you know, it's just, it sounds great. Now, so, all right, go ahead.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, the Anything But Monday show is a straight premium podcast, whereas your show, Silent Universe, has a premium for a higher quality feed of the show and is for gay people, correct?
Right.
Wait a second.
that's not right?
I'm looking at the website, silentuniverse.com, right now, and if you hit the subscribe button, you can either listen in high quality, CD quality stereo with no ads, right, for a fee. Currently, it's $1.49 per episode, subscribe for $1.49 or download for $2.49. Or you can listen in low quality, which is a 24K bits per second mono with ads. So
which is not that great.
Yeah, so now,
not at all.
Now you are so basically you are not only one of our fellow podcasters, you're one of our fellow premium podcasters. So what I'm interested in, how do you make this happen? How do you what's your system behind this premium subscription that you can allow people to pay and download the high quality files?
Well, basically what I had to do is I had to figure it out from scratch, because when I put it together, there really wasn't a system out there, at least one that I found, that people were using to pay for premium podcasts.
We know.
So I had to go with...
We had the same situation. We had to create ours from scratch as well.
Yeah, I had to go in and basically learn how to do a little bit of programming in PHP and let it talk to a MySQL server, which, you know, talks to PayPal and all this other crap and make it work. But, you know, it's something I had to build from scratch because there was no existing kind of medium for it. There was no example to go off of, nothing I could buy or, you know, look into, so I had to basically do it myself.
And now you have advertising as well on the low quality stream, and so did you actually go and approach some companies? You have like Audible on here. Do you actually went and approach people to be a sponsor on the show?
Actually, we did, but we had no success with it.
Yeah.
Because podcasting is a very new medium, you know, advertisers are kind of wary of getting involved in it.
Yeah.
And we pitched to dozens of companies like, hey, you know, we've got an audience, we've got this cool show, it's a very niche audience that would be interested in your product, you know, namely Star Trek DVDs or whatever. And there really wasn't much of a bite on there because, you know, all right, so you have an audience of, you know, 2,000-3,000.
Yeah.
All right, fine, well... You go to radio and they're talking 150,000, 250,000. It's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket.
Right.
So I signed up with this company, actually, that was recommended to me by someone that I met at the Podcasting Expo in Ontario last year. He said, check out this company called Kiptronic. I didn't know anything about it. And I met with their vice president of sales, who just happened to be the guy at the booth because it was a small company. And he's like, yeah, what we do is we take podcasts and we help you sell them. And I was like, okay, that works for me. What's the catch? What's the big detail? Do I have to, you know, make it into a special format? Do I have to put my, you know, MP3s on your server? What do I have to do? And they said, no, none of that. just move on to Libsyn.
Yeah.
And then all you have to do is say, I want to be part of the Kiptronic network. And what they do is they track your downloads by day, by actual where it's coming from in the world or what state in the United States, what market. And they take that data, they aggregate it with other podcasts who are in your same kind of area. Like for me, it's science fiction podcasts. And they sell me as a package with other podcasts. So now instead of offering 2,000-3,000 downloads, we can offer 20,000, 30,000 downloads as a group. So now they go out representing us and they say, hey, we want a $30 CPM or whatever. And they actually managed to get it. That's where the Audible campaign actually came from. I just signed up for this and I was like, screw it. I'm tired of being a salesman, a programmer, and a writer. I'd rather focus on writing. And they said, okay, we'll take care of it. And of course, they take their cut.
Yeah.
But
how many listeners have you gotten from this? I mean, listeners? How many
what have I gotten from
it? How many listeners do you have coming? How many members have you gotten from this whole thing? Is it taken off for you for as far as getting?
I guess in general, because we're also going down this road of premium podcasting, because you're doing both the people can pay directly to you and also the advertising. Is this something that are you making any money at it? Is it working out? We're really curious if this is a good road to go down.
I've been making some money with it. What's really helpful is when you have the free podcast, it's great to get people into the story and hooked on it, but the free podcast isn't so great that, there's things that irritate people about it, and it kind of serves as a motivator for them to want to move on to the pay podcast. The great majority of my audience is, forget it, I'll listen to the mono for free and, never mind, I don't get involved with it.
Yeah.
But I've had maybe, I'd say, three dozen people who signed up for the premium version, which is not a lot, but they're subscribing for the whole season, so I've made like $500 off of it.
That's awesome.
Works
that's awesome.
For me.
Great.
I'm not making a whole bunch of money, but that's enough to pay for server costs, that's enough to pay for advertising, and that's enough to go back to the artist and say, hey, here's some money that we've made, and, start paying the people who are helping me put this together, because they, they got mouths to feed as well.
Well, we've already made $100,000. We've only made $100,000. We've only made $100,000 in 6 weeks. I thought we were, so that's pretty good.
$100,000, yeah.
$100,000. I wish I could do that.
As you know.
Yeah, that's a lie. You know about lies?
Well, maybe with Dr. J's help, he'll help us by putting us up there. We'll get some more people coming
our
way.
That way, that can help us out.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend Kiptronic. And if you want, I can give you the contact information of Scott Cardoza. He's, the vice president of marketing.
Yes, so it's funny because I was actually there at the Podcast Expo, so maybe I met you out there. I don't know. I met a lot of people out there.
It's possible. I was hanging out with Evo Terra and Scott Sigler.
Yes, I saw Scott Sphincter, what was his name? I saw Evo Terra out there, I think.
Scott Sigler.
Oh. Yes.
Frank is he's not very memorable. So
I just sort of blend into the background.
Short, bald guy, very intense guy, Scott Sigler.
Yes, yes.
Has his podcast. Some people have listened to it.
So anyway, now inform our listeners, Dr. J, just how old you are, and that there is indeed hope for sci-fi and fantasy nerds around the world, because you actually, in fact, have a girlfriend and have had sex. Is that true?
Gee, my girlfriend's standing next to me, actually, right now.
Yeah, so that's true. But all those points.
She's making faces at me now. She's like, no, don't
tell me. Don't get into that. Don't go down that road. So we'll assume yes, but that's good. So there is hope for the sci-fi fantasy nerds out there that can happen, actually.
No, it's true. If you can actually find a way to make money off of it and not let it take over your entire life, there is indeed hope for the science fiction nerds of the world.
That's not what I was talking about, but that's all right.
Yes, yes.
So that's good. So how old are you, by the way?
I am 23 years old, actually.
23?
Graduated college.
It's a kid.
Yeah.
Why is everybody?
I went to the podcast expo and everyone's like, "How old are you?"
Why is everybody?
I have kids as old as you.
Okay, why is everybody in the world younger than us now? Do you ever realize that?
It's bizarre.
Everywhere we go, it's insane. It's insane.
It's very disappointing. I think I was 23 like 2 years ago, but now I'm 39.
When we were 23, I'm going to be 41 very shortly.
Yeah.
I'm very old.
You're very old.
When we were 23.
Yes.
All right. We had the Anything with Monday Empire at full swing. All right.
The magazines. That was toward the end. Yeah.
That was toward the end. That's when we were working for this little organization called MTV. We did some stuff for MTV. And that was 1989 when I was 23 years old.
Yep.
Pretty scary.
1989.
And there was no internet back then.
Think about that.
I was six in 1989.
Six.
Yeah.
Six.
Yeah.
Great. Great. So one quick question before we go any further. Do you speak Klingonese?
No, but I know a guy who does.
Frank, this guy's bullshit.
Pretty scary.
Nah, this guy's bullshit. Elvish is the big one.
This guy's bullshit. Get rid of him.
No Klingon.
I'm gonna give you one last chance. Otherwise, we're ditching him. Here we go. Okay. I'll give you one more chance. Okay?
One last chance.
In the Star Trek episode, Private Little War, what was the name of the creature? In the original Star Trek episode, Private Little War, what was the name of the creature that attacked Captain Kirk and nearly killed him with its poisonous bite if not for the intervention of a Canuto woman? What was the name of that creature?
Oh, my gosh. Was it the lizard guy? The Gorn thing?
Frank, please hit the buzzer.
That was incorrect.
Okay. That was incorrect.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
You got to ask me Next Generation.
It was the Mugatu.
The answer
was the Mugatu.
Okay,
I'm sorry. We're
going to
leave you right here.
What was the name? Here's a question. What was the name of the godlike being? His name was Mr. Blank. It's a letter of the alphabet.
Mr. Blank?
What are you talking about?
The guy who's like a god, has godlike powers, Mr.
Where?
Q?
Yeah. I guess he was just named, was he named Mr. Q or was he just...
He was just Q. He wasn't Mr. Q.
you idiots.
I got the question wrong. Sorry.
Insult the guy now.
Mr. Q. He's not... Okay, he's just Q. All right, he got that right. He's all right.
He's all right. Great.
I know a couple things.
Perhaps
I'm rusty on my TOS.
Yeah, let's ask him some Blade Runner questions then if you can't answer these.
Yeah.
Can you answer anything about Blade Runner or no?
Can
you answer any questions about Blade Runner?
Blade Runner.
He doesn't even know who that movie is. Doesn't even know. I bet you.
I know my dad had that in his.
Yeah, you had to be there.
I did not know Blade Runner. You got to be kidding me. This is no sci-fi expert. This is bogus.
He is an audio.
He's a fanboy. Okay.
He's an audio drama producer.
Okay.
And following, of course, and I really admire what you're doing because you are following in the long tradition. Again, of the old-time radio, and it's a format that is so different than anything with video or movies or TV. And as you, I don't know if you agree with me, but the audio medium has it's a completely own thing. And there's a lot more that you can really do with it. It deals with the mind's eye and things like that. So I think it's great
that you're
continuing.
That's one thing I've noticed is the freedom with it. You know, you're not constrained by special effects or you know how something looks. You can. Whatever you can imagine and you can describe, you can do an audio. And I really, really, really like that.
Right.
The freedom of it is very nice.
Mike, I think we should change this into an audio drama.
Yeah.
Our show.
It is an audio drama.
We're going to script it. We're going to have sound effects. And
every
everything.
Day I deal with you, it's an audio drama.
Listen.
Exactly.
Listen, it's not easy. Podcasting is not easy.
Yeah. Well, he'll find that out over time. Well, did you know Frank is a pioneer? Did you know that? It's Dr. J. You know, Frank is one of the original 40 podcasters on the whole planet. When it first started.
Really?
Yeah. He was actually.
Well, I started my other show, The Overnightscape, at TheOvernightscape.com way back in March of 2003, a year and a half before podcasting. So I've been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
And
talking to a legend
as featured in the London Times, no less.
The London Times, yes. I was in there.
And what does Frank have to do? He has to drag me into this whole crap again after this hiatus we took to start this crazy ass show again.
Yes.
Thanks to him, we're doing this again. So, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing comedy. I have kids at home. I have a wife. What am I doing here? And I'm talking to a 23-year-old guy who's should be doing God knows what out in California.
Yeah.
With roller coasters in the background at 1:30 in the morning on a Saturday with you.
Well, what do you want to go back to your Monday?
It's only 10.
You want to go back to your mundane existence? No, it's 1:30 here in Jersey. Come on.
What did you say to me?
You want to go back to your mundane existence? Or you want to have fun?
This is a hoot.
Come on. All right. Well, Marcus, thank you very much for being on the show. And we're going to play your clip now. But you won't be able to hear it. So I guess we'll say goodbye, let you go there in the Knott's Berry Farm.
And unfortunately, he can't work anything on Monday into his show because it's a soap opera.
No, it takes place in the future.
Oh, so you can talk about...
I think I heard...
Maybe it could be like a historical type of thing. Didn't I hear the time capsule that has like a thumb drive with this episode on it.
Yeah, of anything but Monday.
Yeah. Didn't you have like a pop culture reference to like Metal Gear or something in one of your shows? Like, yeah, you could throw a reference
into it. Yeah, we do that. We have a nerdy guy who talks about, Windows and crap like that.
Right.
Yeah, he has a backstory, too.
Right. So maybe
he thinks he's from the 21st century, but he's not.
Yeah. So maybe he's a fan of the Internet.
He's like that monkey in The Little Rascals that thought he was a caddy. Remember that episode?
just like throw in a little reference, like something like real quick, like, oh, that's like something they would say in Anything But Monday show, or something. Like something just real quick, like you know, this, so it won't like it won't interfere with your show, but it'll be in there, you know, that'd be cool.
Yeah, just throw in a little plug, and then people go, oh, what's that? And they Google it.
Exactly. Yeah, sure they will. Exactly. Sure they will. Yeah. Yes. No, the only way, that's why, you know, whether you on a blog or something, anything when you put out there, please, anything that'd be great. We'll do the same for you. And we'll definitely want to get your little banner up there, and we'll have that up there shortly. And Dave will set yours up, and hopefully that'll work out. Hopefully,
excellent.
Help each other out.
Excellent. All right. So thank you very much.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Enjoy the rest of
your
night.
Thanks for having me on board. I had a good time. Yeah. Sorry I couldn't answer the TOS trivia there.
Oh, it's all right.
Any TNG trivia question, you know?
Yes. Next Generation is
the
better.
The old one, I gotta watch them again.
It's all right. Well, we let it go.
Okay, no, thanks a lot.
Go back to your girlfriend. Have a good night.
Yeah,
and
take it easy.
Thanks a lot for being on the show.
Go on a couple of roller coasters, whatever. Have fun. Good night.
All right, you guys take it easy.
Take care. Good talking to you.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. All right, and now we're going to hear a quick clip from the show. And check this out. This is J. Marcus Xavier's Silent Universe at silentuniverse.com.
The Silent Universe podcast is available for free as a low-quality mono MP3 file.
Okay, there. I got the tracking software back online. Frequency modulator looks okay. Come on, work already. Come on, you friggin' piece of crap.
Or, for just $2.49, you can experience the Silent Universe in CD quality stereo sound.
Secure the hall with a force field.
Whoa! Get down!
Hold your fire! Don't shoot! We're friends!
Oh, I'm sure. If this is how I'm gonna go, I'm gonna take at least three of you with me.
We're not with Yamamoto's outfit. We're here to help.
Subscribe for a whole season. That's 11 episodes. And get a 60% discount. That's only $1.49 an episode. Don't wait. Upgrade to the high-quality version of the Silent Universe today.
I'm telling you the honest truth. I don't do anything to my face. Honestly.
All right. We are back.
I'm telling you the honest truth.
We are back. So I want to thank J. Marcus Xavier for being on the show. Out there having fun in California at Knott's Berry Farm, riding roller coasters, having fun with his girlfriend. And in fact, another one of our great listeners who we heard, we talked to a couple episodes ago, Escapist, Terry from Southern California, he sent us an instant message on Skype. He says, I'm on a boat off Catalina Island right now, and I don't have a mic or headset with me. So he was going to talk to us, but he was on a boat on Catalina, and then he said, I'm going diving here in about 20 minutes. I'll check back with you later.
Yeah.
So our listeners are out there in amusement parks, diving off the coast of Catalina Island. Everyone, every time, every show, we hear about people in California having more fun than we ever have here. What is going on? We have to just move to California.
Diving. What kind of diving are you doing? Muff diving? What kind of diving is that you're doing out there?
I don't know. Coral reef diving? Is it? I know it's earlier there, but isn't it sort of nighttime now?
Here's a good expression
night
I made
diving?
Up. Night diving? Here's an expression I made up once before. He's so unlucky with sex, he got the bends from muff diving. That was a good one.
Oh, by the way, do you have an insult of the week? It's time for the ABM insult of the week.
I have one, and it's an old one I didn't use. You know, and but
you haven't. You've never used this on anyone, or
I haven't used it. I have it right here.
Yeah,
you know, it's definitely it's pretty good. It's pretty solid. You know, you have to understand the since we're keeping with the fantasy vein of everything.
Yes,
the sci-fi fantasy slant. Here's the ABM show insult of the week. Use it on your friends. Use it on your enemies. Use it on whoever you want to. Do we have any music for this or no? Is there usually an intro you do for the insult of the week?
Yes, hold on. Let me get that.
Okay, just so we can kind of
like the intro to the
The intro to the we can do the overly blows.
And now the ABM insult of the week. All right, there you go.
Here it is.
Yeah,
the ABM insult of the week. Why don't you and your three charisma go ferment yourself?
Another Dungeons and Dragons reference.
There we go.
Wow.
Why don't you and your three charisma go ferment yourself.
That's very low. That's as low as you can go on a normal roll.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
So I thought I'd give that out to everybody out there. And since we have that kind of audience listening to us, obviously, I figure the nerdier we go, the better we'll go, the more people will get listening. So why not?
Exactly.
So, you know, last couple of shows ago, I don't know if it was last show or whatever, I was talking about terrible things that happen when you get drunk, and bad instances and bad stories with drinking involved. And there's a couple I didn't get to that I wanted to kind of bring up, and a couple of them involved my my old buddy Rich.
Yeah,
you know, Rich was the friend when you grew up that you always got in trouble with. Like, he was on the grew up on the bad side of the tracks. I was on the good side of the tracks. So it was fun hanging out with him for a while because, you know, you get to see what it was like on the other side. You know, only to go home to the safety of your home after it was all over, leaving him to be, you know, dealing with the authorities or his father or whatever it may be, you know. So, but anyway, there was a great time. This is right before I started driving.
Yeah.
So I was still 16, about to turn 17, because here in the state of New Jersey, you can't drive till you're 17, you know, unlike other parts of the country, like Oklahoma, when you're driving, you're 12.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, basically, you know, he had this Mustang, the 74 Mustang, 1974 Mustang. You know, I think it was a convertible at certain times. But it had to be like March. It was early spring, late winter. Just before I was getting my license, I won't forget, we went down there. So this had to be like 1980, what? You know, this is going back, 83.
Yeah.
Okay? Right around 1983, I would say it was.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
Long time ago. And I remember we had this big plan because his mother was basically dating a guy. She had been divorced, and she was dating a guy who was like a multimillionaire. You know, and he had a house down at one of these really expensive beaches down at the New Jersey shore. I think it was Deal, New Jersey, or one of those places.
Yeah, Deal is really expensive.
Really bucks. And everybody has their own private beach, the whole thing.
Deal is a big deal.
It was one of those things.
Yeah, it's very, right? Very rich community.
So he had a house down there that basically was a shore house, which we were given strict instructions never to go to, ever, without supervision. But of course, that wasn't the case this night because Rich had the bright idea. No one's going to be down there. It's still the winter. We'll go down there. We'll load up the car full of beer. You know, we'll buy cases of Molson or Heineken. It was one of it was green beer bottles.
Yeah.
We'll load up the trunk. We'll get a bunch of guys and have a huge party down there, right? Of course, for some reason, the weather is really bad. It's a driving rainstorm. One kid shows up to go down there.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was like, you know, the prototypical, you know, obese kid in the class. Like but he was a friend of ours. He was very, very overweight kid. You know, always had problems. From the time I knew this kid in fourth grade, this kid was like huge, right? Yeah. So he shows up. Okay. Him, me, and Rich go down the shore, loaded with beer to his shore house in the middle of the night. Okay. And I remember it was the middle of the night because I remember a time when the car hydroplaned. And it was one of those moments when you're going under an overpass.
Yeah.
And like, if it wasn't for the fact that we hit a patch of dry road, the car would have just careened into the overpass. All right. So we got down there. It was probably about, I don't know, one, you know, I don't know what time. It was late, 11 o'clock, whatever it may be. Maybe later. Earlier, sometime around that time. And we get there, the house, of course, is locked. So, because we had no keys to get in as teenagers. He had just started driving. He's a few months older than me. So, we get there, and the house is locked. So, what do we have to do? Of course, break into the house. All right? This house in Deal, this, like, really beautiful man. So, we break in the window of the house. We get in the house.
Wow.
So, we feed all the beer to the window. We get in the house. We get all our stuff there. So, oh, great. We can, like, party now. It's a party. It's three guys. So the house, here's the thing, the house is frigid because there's no heat. It's all turned off. Yeah. It's wintertime. So this house had those electric heaters, you know, those baseboard heaters. You turn the dial on, whatever. So the first place we go is to the bathroom, you know, whatever it would be. And, you know, we're going around the house, putting up the dials. Nothing's happening. The heat dials, we're cranking them all to max. We want to get the house as warm as possible, as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Nothing's working. We go to the bathroom one. And I see Rich basically turn the dial fast. Sparks fly out. He's like, and he flies back. Like, he gets shocked. Because, like, all the sparks come out of the whole place. Like, dude, don't screw it anymore. You're going to start a fire. Right? So we didn't mess with the heaters. The heaters never went on. So we're all freezing. The house is like 60 degrees, and we're freezing the whole time we're there. So we said, we better start drinking because this will warm up a little bit. So our bright idea is we're going to start to play quarters. You know, we remember the good classic drinking game, quarters. We had to bounce the quarter in the shot glass.
And I know of it. I don't think I've ever played it, though.
What it was is you bounce the quarter into the glass, and it goes in the glass. You can make someone else drink. Okay. If you miss, you have to drink yourself, I believe. That's how it went, something like that. So we had all these bottles lined up. And Rich and I's bright idea is like, look, if we don't gang up on Frank, the other guy, his name is Frank, the other guy.
Oh, really? Another Frank.
Another Frank. We don't gang up on Frank. We're never gonna win because he's like this huge guy. He could pack away alcohol like you wouldn't believe. So we have to gang up on him, right? So, of course, we were totally failing in our quest because we started the game. We can't do shit to hit this. Get the club. So we are getting
hammered. He's just drinking for the hell of it, not even being affected. And we're like these teenage kids, and beer after beer after beer, you know, and we're getting, I got so sloshed. I took the quarter one time, and I got mad, and I threw it the glass, and the glass shatters. And like glass goes all over the table, right? So it's like, get a new glass! Get a new glass! So we put a new glass down in the middle of the table, right? And we start doing this again, because you bounce your hand off the table and make the quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm doing this, and you know, and later on, I'm looking at my whole arm was cut.
Really?
Because what happened was it was glass. There's glass shards on the table, and as I'm doing bouncing the quarter, I'm like, I didn't even feel it. I look up and I'm like, my arm is entirely bleeding from glass. You know, because I was bad. That's how bad. I didn't even feel my arm.
Wow.
You know, so now that we do this for a while, what happens is finally we just like get up. Rich gets up and goes, all right, that's it. We're going driving.
What?
It's a brilliant statement.
What?
It's like one of those things you see in a movie, like on TV commercials warning you not to drink and drive. Like, you take your car keys from your friend. He's like, we're going driving. You know?
Oh,
and he's like staggering, right? and he gets to the front door, he turns around. And I remember that Frank was sober enough. He pushed a couch in front of the door so he couldn't get out, right? So Rich, I didn't move the couch. So he goes to move the couch. And all of a sudden, he looks around. He looks at Frank, and his eyes kind of roll back. He goes straight down, passed out, face down on the floor. The guy I talked about last week. Boom, right down, and out cold. The kid's out cold, flat down on the floor.
Wow.
A few minutes later, I'm like, oh. And I just lied down the floor next to him and, like, went out. But in the middle of the night, man, I remember getting up, and I was so... I had to get to the bathroom. I was going to throw up. I couldn't get up. I took off my... I had a sweat jacket on.
Yeah.
I put it on the floor. I was like... Right in the sweat jacket. And, of course, right at Rich's feet. He's in move.
Oh,
I was, like, vomit on his feet in the sweat jacket. And next thing you know... Frank is like playing the housemaid to both of us. He's dragging us into the bathroom, running us under the shower, washing up our clothes, getting cleaning up vomit. He's not even fazed. The kid wasn't Frank, whatever. So the aftermath is we wake up the next morning sometime, and we look around the house, and there's glass. We looked at the bottles. I'm not kidding you, Frank. There was a table full of bottles, green beer bottles. Looking out, it's like, we drank all that beer? You know, I'm like, oh, I can't believe it. I couldn't even look at it. To this day, I can't drink beer out of a green beer bottle. I can't even look at a green beer bottle because it makes my stomach turn, right? So, of course, we started, like, roughhousing that day or something. We were having a fight. We were playing play fight. You know, you play fight and pull punches, whatever it may be?
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened, but Rich takes me and he throws me and I lose my balance and there was a coffee table there. It was one of those glass top coffee tables.
Yeah.
I go crashing right through the glass top coffee table.
Oh,
it's like, like the breakaway glass. I go right into it. He's like, oh, we're all like, oh, shit. Like, we just right through the class toilet table. Like, we're fucked now. We just destroyed the coffee table. So, like, we really were at a calm down. So, we said, we got to get out of here, man. We stay any longer, it's going to be bad. So, we did the best we possibly could do. Clean up the house. We're going to have to explain the coffee table in the spring. We weren't going to say anything until the summer when they got there. Then we were going to tell them, right? So what happened was the aftermath of the story is we get back, months go by. Finally, his mother and her husband go down, or boyfriend, whatever, go to the shore house, right?
Yeah.
And they open up the doors to the shore house. And they open the door, and they get immediately hit with a blast, like a blast furnace. Like the door, they say they got hit with a blast furnace, and they look inside, and the wallpaper is peeling off the walls.
Oh,
it was so hot. The wallpaper, the glue on the wallpaper was melting. What happened was the heaters had kicked on after we left.
Oh, man.
And they're all on max, right? So for 3 months, the house was cranking heat.
Oh.
And, you know, and now it's summer, and no one turned it off.
Oh, man.
So not only was there electric bill that was insane, okay? The wallpaper melted off the wall, and the coffee table is destroyed. And, of course, the phone call that we got afterwards to explain all this kind of stuff, of course. But that was what happened in the aftermath.
You guys didn't try to just say, oh, someone else must have just broken
some
in. Or
some hooligans. No, we couldn't explain how that happened, but that's really what happened. The heat was up. The heat was 3 months.
That's awesome.
Can you imagine? That was a true story.
Oh,
That was a true story. And like, that actually happened, you know.
That's amazing.
But,
all right. Well, after the break, we're going to go back to the past.
Okay.
What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right.
apartment to, but stare at the clock and remember you. Walking home, I began to think about the times we shared and how they were fake. Now I'm at home and on.
Yes.
Yes.
Here we are. We're going to go back to the past now. We know we talked about this earlier in the show, so I definitely wanted to get to this. This is guy Physics Phil, right? So we got to get back to this topic of Physics Phil,
mm-hmm.
right? We talked about this guy briefly, but let me tell you about my initial encounter with this guy. Now, because this was in college. We started college. I started college in 1985, and they have a thing called icebreakers. When all these students, obviously all very timid and very, like, they don't know anyone, so they get you in a room, and they have you do these various, like, little... what would you say? Like little ceremonies or what do you want? Little games to get you going. And no one would think that, you know, this could be dangerous to do these icebreakers. So we sat around the room and we're like, they're like, hey, the coordinators are like, you know, just other students, whatever. They're like, hey, so what we're going to do, we're going to go around the room, tell us your first name and something you like that starts with the same letter as your first name, right? So, you know, people are saying I don't remember anyone. I remember my own and I remember this guy.
It just sounds like this. Though.
Yeah.
That's all you heard.
Yeah. So I said, hi, my name is Frank, and I like freedom. You know, I thought that was a pretty good thing.
Did you said?
Yes, I like freedom.
You got a total gay.
What? What would you have said? My name is Mike, and I like what?
Masturbation.
All right. Well, great. Anyway. Well,
that's what I say in college at that point, of course.
Yes. Anyway, this guy, Phil, I never had met him before. This is the first day that you get there, the first day you get to the college.
Right.
It's like, hi. My name's Phil, and I like physics, right? Little did he know that this one statement would stick with him for the rest of
his life.
And apparently, right until today, everyone started calling him Physics Phil. And it wasn't just me. It was everyone.
The
that
entire
was in that,
campus.
Everyone that was in that room called him Physics Phil because it was just a perfect name for this guy. He was kind of a smaller, mild-mannered-looking guy. And just a real weird guy. Like he's a like a real, like, I don't know if you say anything, nerd, but he was also like very bizarre, you know, very bizarre guy. Right. So immediately, this was back when we first started doing our radio show. This is back in like February, like early on. In fact, you're going to hear there's a news report on the TV of the Space Shuttle Challenger.
That's freaky in the background.
So this was probably like February of it was one of the investigations, right? They're trying to figure out what caused the space shuttle to blow up. We decided to bring our tape recorder.
What did cause the space shuttle to blow up?
Some sort of tile. I don't know.
What?
An old ring, like a little rubber ring. No, whatever. No, you know, whatever.
It was a missile.
it was something nefarious, but they just said, oh, it was a ring or it was a tile, you know.
A ring?
An old ring, like one of the, like a sealant or something.
Yeah, okay.
Like the oxygen started coming out and who knows, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, so we decided for our radio show, we wanted to walk around the campus and interview people. I had this big boombox that had these stereo microphones on it.
Right.
We would just walk around and interview people. So we decided we were going to go to Physics Phil's room to interview Physics Phil.
Uh-huh.
And he was not very welcoming to us. So just imagine it's nighttime. I think it was probably like raining outside. We go into this like dingy dorm and we're going to meet this weird guy. So this
weird guy.
So here is
we go back to the past. We have the back to the past sign.
Yes, of course. We're going back to the past. And the sound effect just keeps going on and on. Stop. Okay, let's try it again. We're going back to the past. Here we go. Going.
Entering Hazelton Dorm.
Entering the sewer that we're entering.
That's right. It's raining outside. Entering now.
Frank, what are you keep doing this for? You're wasting the damn tape.
No, this is part.
Look, we're recording on the other side. As simple as that.
No, there's stuff on the other side.
We record over.
They are.
Mike, bring it with me.
My tape.
Something that I'm going to erase something. Electric tape erase something. Erase that over.
What? We're real professional now.
What? We're real professional. I'm afraid to go in this room.
Would you be interested in doing an interview with us?
What?
An interview.
No.
No? Why not?
Why?
You'd be famous.
He's doing it on the radio.
We have a radio show.
No, thank you.
You don't want to?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Because.
Are you scared?
Clearly show an abnormal puff of smoke on the shuttle that lift off in an area near the seal. So, Phil, you're not going to do it at all?
Through the rocket, a sign of serious trouble. Shortly before the spacecraft is consumed by an explosion.
So, you're not treating your guests properly.
Go away.
So you flatly refuse, right?
Yes.
I guess that's all we can do.
Have I interviewed Sev?
We'll just have to do it without him.
I guess to interview Sev. Would you like us to interview you, Severin?
Actually, no, I got some stuff to do. Okay. They're turning that down. Thanks anyway. Maybe later, when they sell the time, I'll be over.
We'll just have to do it without him.
Okay. All right.
I'll see you again.
So you don't want to be on the radio, huh, Phil?
Okay, well. If you ever want to have an interview, we'll just tell us, okay? Bye.
Oh my God. Oh shit. Please get that. You get that on tape?
Yeah.
He's the weirdest guy I've known in my entire life.
He's beyond weird. He's not just a separate member. He's not just a...
I got it all wrong. I thought Severin was a different person.
No.
You thought Severin was...
Who do you think Severin was?
Different kid I had in my mind.
Really?
Not that kid, but I... No.
That kid, I mean, that's Severin. He's not that bad. He's a bad.
Phil is...
Phil
is fucking crazy.
All right, we're back. A bit of audio from over 21 years ago. And so what did we do after we recorded that? He's like, go away. I don't want to be on the radio. What did we do?
We make a song out of it.
We created a song and...
We spliced in people what people thought. We interviewed people around the campus. What do they think about Phil? And we spliced it in and made a nice little song out of it. So here, do you have the song?
I don't have the song, but I have the actual... The audio clips just back to back. Because the song was sort of a copyrighted song, whatever. But
so what?
I don't have that version, but it was
actually by Wang Chung, that song,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, it was called, it was from Breakfast Club, right?
Yes, it was instrumental, actually. Yeah.
All right, so here it is. Here is actually what we put together. You know, there was music behind it, but at least you'll get the idea of what we did.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Go away.
Phil, hey, you want to buy some female companionship?
Go away.
Hey, Phil, you want a beer?
Go away.
Hey, Philly, come back to bed. It's getting cold in here.
Go away.
Philly, if not her, how about me?
Go away.
Phil, ravish me, you little sexual dynamo, you.
Go away.
Hey, Phil, heard you did pretty good last night.
Go away.
So, Phil, what do you think of the American situation in Nicaragua?
Go away.
So why do they call you Physics Phil anyway, big guy?
Go away.
Phil, what's wrong with you?
Go away. Go away. Go away. Go
there you
away.
Go.
You didn't record that, did you?
Huh?
You recorded that now?
What?
Was that going now?
We're on.
That was a whole point. I didn't know we were on.
We're on. We just played for the people. So just imagine that with music behind it. But we went around and like our audio like technology back then. I had like one boombox and like another one, and I actually played it over the air and recorded it in the microphone of the other boombox. It was like the most rudimentary technology. But we took that one thing of him saying "go away" and we like made this whole song about it. You know,
that's good. I'm glad everybody can hear everything. That's great.
what you heard it? Didn't you hear it?
I heard it.
The people out there heard it. You're just a little confused, okay? It's very late,
Frank,
as usual.
I'm as confused as a baby raccoon.
Yeah, as what?
I'm as confused as a baby raccoon.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's the middle of the night, as usual, recording the show at 2 a.m. I don't know what's going on around here.
As a baby raccoon.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So anyway, there you go. That's just part of the Physics Phil saga. I'm just going to tease this very, very briefly. There's a thing called the tuck-in, and... over the next few weeks, we are going to get the video and the audio online.
Of the tuck-in?
Of the tuck-in.
Oh, we got to get the video on there. That's a classic. There was a very hot woman at the time, girl, student at the time that I knew.
Yes.
Her brother, who happened to go there. And she basically got us to go do this tuck-in for her.
Yeah. And this video has never been seen ever by anyone.
I've seen it, right?
You've seen it. But I've had the audio out there on my various internet radio stations over the years because it's great audio. But The video has never been seen, and coming
this
up
is, this is video of what? Explain what a tuck-in is so they know that.
We'll talk. We're going to get into this topic a lot more over the next couple of weeks, all right?
All right.
You people, stay with us. Stay subscribe. Subscribe to the premium. You want to know about this tuck-in video. It is going to be great, but I think we'll leave it at that for now. What's the matter with your computer?
You don't have me, but the computer, it's not the computer. It's, okay. It's the person working the board.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I turned you down. Play your sound effect now.
Just be quiet. Just be quiet. I don't want to hear from you. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
From now on, every time you talk, something you don't want to hear you say, yeah. I'm just going to do this.
Mr. Pee Wee Herman. Great.
That would be annoying.
So,
if we did that all the time,
it would be very annoying.
So, should we do the horoscope?
Yes, it is time for the horoscope. Here is your horoscope. It's
what are we doing?
We are doing number 41.
Horoscope number 41.
Code number 41.
Code number 41. I have it somewhere.
I made a photocopy for you.
Yeah, you did?
Code number 41.
Great.
Code number 41.
Yes.
Yes. And
let's do it right for our listeners.
We're going to do it totally right.
Our horoscope.
Totally right. Here we go. Totally right. And now, on the Anything But Monday show, it's time for your horoscope.
Aquarius, when life gives you shadows, make shadow aid. Tweak the panties of the emerald archeress.
Yeah.
Wing it when you your continent is sucked into the netherworld. A gerbil in a jester suit can do wonders to cheer you up on a crowded trainload of weary commuters.
Yes. Pisces, gravity shifts sideways and you find yourself zooming over the Atlantic. Formulate loser boffing. Miniaturize yourself and ride a polecat to work. Your green knuckles the echidna socks rule.
Woody the Worm, for people born on February 29th. Make C4 cakes. Sleep with the itch and migraine, bitch. Kick the empathy furrow where it counts. Do you want naked teenage girls bathing in champagne or a good education?
Aries, lunge at Steno. The Walking Home Security Store confounds you and the authorities. Remember, DNA is a hoax. Give your personality some halcyon.
Taurus, greet the menacing Caltrop Hurricane. You are the bleak Winslow. Mr. Confidence is not with you today. Surefoot yourself.
Gemini, cream gene. Locate 5 pine scent refineries in your area. Smush the professional hockey player in your life. Die Cut Marvin.
Cancer. Spend the $200 for lap dances, not for Black Lotus. Email Rudyard Kipling's The Joy of Nipples to jerky billionaire Bill Gates. Coffee Stain Infinity. Smog is your chaperone.
Leo. Mesmerize Maureen McCormick. Jark me. Fleesterize a North Dakotan. A permanent dimension door from your apartment to the Mall of America is a top priority.
Virgo. Collecting Canadiana should repel those pesky lurking phantasms. Mine tin in Aruba. Don the macrame visor. Join the Jack Frost convoy.
Libra. Meditate on the mysteries of Conrad Bain. Carve an orange tree out of a cherry tree. Whatever game you play with the girls of the Twin Peaks nude playing cards, you're a winner. Martinize Hammer.
Scorpio. For the benefit of Mr. Kite, get a job, Buster. Moron meerkats ridicule you in Turkmenistan. A financial opportunity will goose you. Sit next to a babe on a train and write horoscopes.
Sagittarius. Be unique. Make up space stories about reptilian invaders. Every day of your life is a new Iger sanction. Keep your Santa Claus powers to yourself. Watch the backhoe version of the Nutcracker.
Capricorn. Devastate a panda. The Ripsaw Girl Major Death Club is ideas a winner. Correlate for fun and profit. Architect the demise of William.
And that is your horoscope for
Monday.
For Monday, April 9th, 2007. Yes. Now, this is a tough one. This is a tough one.
Half these words, I don't even know you made these words up.
I wrote this one, like I was trying to do,
of course,
like...
I'm not even my...
What?
Go ahead.
What's the matter?
I don't know.
I wrote,
over here. Go ahead.
I remember I wrote this one a long time ago, like back in the 90s. I guess I'm like a really old laptop computer.
You're on crack? You wrote this thing?
This is some bizarre stuff, but there's some really good ones in there. There's some good ones in there. But I said, sit next to a babe on the train and write horoscopes. So I guess I was actually sitting on the train next to like a high girl, and I was like writing horoscopes.
Right.
So I was trying to do one of those things like talk about this, the meta levels, you know, meta levels. But My favorites, of course, is whatever game you play with the girls of Twin Peaks nude playing cards, you're a winner. Because back then, of course, I was obsessed with Sherilyn Fenn.
Yeah. Oh.
She, I had a huge crush on Sherilyn Fenn.
What a whack job she turned out to be, man. Holy crap. Jack Nicholson?
No, you're thinking of that other girl.
Lara Flynn Boyle.
Yes, not Sherilyn Fenn.
Well, Sherilyn Fenn is also crazy as well, too. But, you know,
she just kind of like, she didn't mature well. Yeah. And, but at that time, she was pretty much like the hottest girl on television. But I don't know. But yeah, there's some good ones. There's some bizarre stuff, though, like the Black Lotus reference, another like obscure Magic the Gathering Dungeons and Dragons site reference.
There's a lot of weird crap you have in here. Like
Sonic the Hedgehog. This is a bizarre
Sleep
one.
With the Itch and Migraine Bitch.
That's a good one. Sleep with the Itch and Migraine Bitch.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a good
you
one.
Are the bleak Mr. The Bleak Winslow.
You are the Bleak Winslow. There's some good ones in here.
What was that idea, that invention? Where was that invention you talked about that was a great idea? That was actually pretty good.
The Ripsaw Major Depths Club? No.
The Ripsaw Major Depths Club.
I don't know what that is. But and also, look, there's a callback to a previous horoscope. Watch the backhoe version of the Nutcracker, right? Because there was a previous one that was like sit stunned as you watch the construction equipment perform a ballet. So this was like a reference to. So I was taking, at that point, I was taking the horoscopes to the next level. You understand?
Yeah, I understand.
All right? This is very advanced stuff, okay? It's very advanced. Thank you. Here we go. Coming up next, lots of great stuff. See, Mike, you know, this song, actually, Guitar in My Closet, he's like, 18 years ago, he left his guitar in the closet, and he stopped playing it, and then in the song, he starts playing it again. That's exactly what we did. 18 years ago, Anything But Monday stopped, and now it's back. So this song is very symbolic. I detect you're not appreciating the symbolism of this song.
No.
All right, wait. There's a special music for this one. Hold on. I got to find it. This is what is the name of this feature again?
The name of this feature is Answer Me This, Mr. Nora.
Yes.
And this is when I asked Frankie.
This is it, right? Yes.
It is. Very game show-ish.
So this is Answer Me This, Mr. Nora. Yes.
Yeah, and what it is, Frank does not know what's coming. I'm going to ask him a very pointed question.
He's asking me questions. I don't know what I'm, you know.
And I'm looking for a response to these pointed questions.
Yes. You're also looking for the question. Where do you find it?
Here it is. First question for you.
Question number one.
Mr. Nora. Answer me this, Mr. Nora.
Yes.
Question is, for an all-expense-paid one-week vacation anywhere in the world, would you be willing to kill a beautiful butterfly by pulling off its wings?
All-expense-paid.
One-week vacation anywhere in the world, would you be willing to kill a beautiful butterfly by pulling off its wings?
No, because you know what would happen in the future. It would change the future. If you kill the butterfly, it changes the future. You know, the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to do that. So the answer is no.
What about stepping on a cockroach?
Stepping on a cockroach to get the
same thing.
Well, they say the cockroach is the. Like God's perfect creation that can exist for months without any food or water. They said they can even live for days without a head.
Really?
I wouldn't want to risk their wrath. No, no.
Here we go.
I guess I'm not going on that vacation.
You will not be getting that vacation. Here's another little tougher one.
Yeah.
For you?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to murder an innocent person if it would end hunger in the world?
Murder one innocent
person. One innocent person, so it would end hunger.
They had that in Star Trek. It was if the many people can have the one person.
No.
Mr. Spock.
Mr. Spock said the actual quote was for J. Marcus Xavier.
Yes.
Who doesn't watch the original Star Trek ever.
The original quote was. The next generation is much better.
Well, this is from The Wrath of Khan.
Okay.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one.
Okay. But the many people can outweigh the needs of other people.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the ones. So you'd have to murder.
Yeah.
Murder an innocent person if it would end hunger in the world. So you'd murder an innocent person
some little kid after school walking home with his little lunchbox, coming home, minding his own business. You jump out of a bush with a hatchet and hack him in the head.
And then all these plants start growing in the world?
Right, and then hunger is instantly ends.
Food, like, food is like pouring out of the sky.
Right, there's like burger trees and everything as well. And then all of a sudden population...
Oh, burger trees. That sounds cool. Yes. I kill them. I want to see burger tree. Absolutely. They're dead.
Yeah,
they're dead.
Now we have a population problem, and we just got like, you know, because no one dies because no one's ever hungry.
Exactly.
Great. Okay.
Any more questions?
Here we go.
Question number three
for the night. Here we go.
Yes.
If God appeared to you in a series of vivid and moving dreams and told you to leave everything behind, travel alone to the Red Sea, and become a fisherman, what would you do?
I would,
What would you do? He appears to you in a series of vivid and moving dreams.
So after I woke up, I would probably just,
You have to travel alone to the Red Sea and become a fisherman. By yourself. Gotta go. Leave everything behind.
I'd probably consider it, but then I probably would just go online and start, like going on Disney World websites like I usually do. I would really probably ignore it.
Yeah. I guess the second part of this whole thing is, what if you were told to sacrifice your child? Like, please.
Give me a break. In a dream?
Yeah. You get these vivid dreams, and you woke up, oh, must be true. Must be God coming to me.
I probably would not do that.
Okay.
What is this God noise? It's like, kill thy child. Like, what kind of freaking God is? Kill thy child.
That's such a load of crap.
I mean, God's like Buddha never said, now you shall go kill your children. He never said that. Only is one God.
Only in bad Chinese theater.
Yeah. Thou shalt kill children. What was that fixation? I don't understand.
The whole thing is a bogus bunch of crap. Okay?
I understand, but a lot of people believe it. They really...
They've fallen for this whole Bible thing, haven't they?
They love it.
It's very, very convincing.
Yeah.
It's very convincing. But, you know, just think about it. How many people live their life by the Bible?
Really, truly?
There's a lot of people that actually say, this is whatever is written here, this is it.
Yeah.
Right? This is the actual
way. I hope not, because there's a lot of evil stuff in the Bible.
God put it in words, and it's actually God's word.
Well, if you go to evilbible.com, you will see that there's a lot of evil things in the Bible, such as
evilbible.com,
ritual human sacrifice, rape, murder, slavery, and lots of other things like that. And it'll
the top 10. Go to the top 10 list on evilbible.com. What is the top 10 list?
Where do you see the top 10
right
list?
Right here, top 10 list of the evilbible.com.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's your top 10 signs you're a fundamentalist Christian.
See, but these aren't actual Bible quotes.
Oh, I thought they were actual Bible. I want to know that.
Wait, what do you want to see? Rape, human sacrifice, or murder, or slavery?
Oh, that's always a popular one.
Murder's good. Murder's good.
Here's some murder one. Here we go.
Let's see.
Look at this. Kill homosexuals, right?
Of course. That's a very famous one. If a man lies with a male, as with a woman, both of them shall be put to death for their abominable deed. They have forfeited their lives. That's from Leviticus
20:13.
Yes. That's the one line in the Bible that all these people, they point to that.
It'll flip out. There's another one.
Let's see. If you hit your father, whoever strikes his father or mother shall be put to death. Okay. Death for fornication. A priest's daughter who loses her honor by committing fornication and thereby dishonors her father also shall be burned to death. This is in the Bible. I'm not. Listen, I know a lot of you out there are Christian, that you love God and all this other stuff, but this is in your Bible.
It's
and you're
a
gonna,
twisted book.
You're going
to
say like, oh, it's meant for this or that, but let's see. I'm trying to see.
Wait. Kill women who are not virgins on their wedding night.
Yes.
Here we go.
This is from Deuteronomy, okay? But if this charge is true, that she wasn't a virgin on her wedding night, and evidence of the girl's virginity is not found, they shall bring the girl to the entrance of her father's house, and there her townsmen shall stone her to death, because she committed a crime against Israel by her unchasteness in her father's house. Thus shall you purge the evil from your midst. So basically, if the girl gets married and she's not a virgin, you shall murder her, okay?
You're in law.
Now, these people, the people that they say, some people say take the Bible with a grain of salt, it's all figurative, whatever. But there's people that take it literally.
Right.
So you really should, I'm not promoting this, but if you want to be consistent, if you're like, oh, the Bible says this and that, you really should check if every girl's a virgin when she gets married. And if not, you should kill her. That's what your God is telling you to do.
Or kill anyone who approaches the tabernacle.
Yes, for the Lord has said to Moses, exempt the tribe of Levi from the census. This is a long one. Do not include that. It involves census takers.
Kill a census taker.
Do not include. Yeah.
The census guy comes to your house and you stone the guy as soon as he walks up. Levi said so. Yes. And so did Strauss.
I'll skip forward a little bit. They must carry the tabernacle and its equipment as you travel. and they must care for it and camp around it. Whenever the tabernacle is moved, the Levites will take it down and set it up again. Anyone else who goes too near the tabernacle will be executed, okay? That's from Numbers.
So this kill people for working on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
That's a good one, too. You know, if you're working on the Sabbath, which is either Saturday or Sunday, depending on what you believe, right?
The Lord said, the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between you and me forever. I am the Lord. Keep the Sabbath day, for it's holy. Anyone who desecrates it must die. Anyone who works on that day will be cut off from the community. Work 6 days only, but the seventh day must be a day of total rest. Okay? So basically, the Bible is saying if someone works on a Sunday, or if you're whatever other religion, like
Saturday, Jewish,
or Seventh-day Adventist, they take the Saturday as a Sabbath as well.
Right.
You should kill them. You should murder them. And, of course, we have a county here in New Jersey called Bergen County, and they have blue laws. You're not allowed to work on Sunday.
That's correct.
You still are not. So people are still taking it. But this is just a point.
Which makes me want to kill people because of traffic it causes.
Do not... Religious people, do not get outraged by this. We're reading quotes from the Bible. Okay, we're not changing any words. We're not. It says to kill people in lots of different ways in the Bible.
Matter of fact, I've enjoyed this feature so much. Yeah. I like to make evil Bible.
Evil Bible in a feature?
A feature on the show.
It's a great website. And again, it's from the Bible, so you can't say it's not like people writing stuff.
Is this the King James version of the Bible or Gideon's Bible?
It's probably the Gideon. They probably just got it from a hotel room. Like, hey, there's a lot of evil stuff in here, dude. You know?
You guys got to take that. You know.
Yeah. What would you like to do now? Some movie trailers?
We got to get to the movie trailers because that's always a very popular feature, and you know I don't want to miss out on them tonight.
All right.
But we have to make evilbible.com. This has to be part of our show.
Yeah, that's a great website.
There's a lot of great quotes in the Bible.
Absolutely.
Frank, bookmark that, please, if you will.
Yes. Oh, believe me, I have it memorized.
You can
never forget it. Evilbible.com. You cannot forget it. Anyway, here we go. Time for the piss poor movie trailers. It's our new piss poor movie trailer theme song.
You had piss poor music for that. We had that, didn't we have that?
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
You had a piss poor song for that, didn't you?
Yeah. Here you go. Here's a piss poor song.
Well, I never imagined it'd say so much before I woke up when when I went to bed,
this is worse than the trailers.
And these pictures fade along like the colors weren't meant at all. Like the red
running enough.
Flowers decay.
Yes. Our music, by the way, is from a very interesting situation. It's all sort of Creative Commons music that was released on a website under a very... Yes, it is very nice under the Creative Commons Attribution License, and we give attribution, of course, on our website for all these songs, and that was one of them. We will be all right.
And we also give retribution on our website as well.
Yeah, exactly. For that song, we will give retribution. But anyway, we have some piss-poor movie trailers, and I think I mentioned that we had one that was...
Beyond piss-poor.
Beyond piss-poor. But first, we have sort of a normal one that's not... This one is...
So the whole gig here is I get... There's two movie trailers, and Frank actually has written up the themes of three possibilities. I have to pick the correct theme.
Absolutely. And if you just give me a moment to call up this thing here.
Why is it never ready? Why is it never ready?
It's ready. I just need to open it.
What?
It's ready in a sense that it's there, but I need to open it. You know what I mean?
What?
What are you doing? What? What? Play your sound effect, damn it.
Say what again? Say what again? Oh. I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
Listen. What was that guy? Was his name Julius, too?
Oh, no. That was... Oh, Julius in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, was it Julius? It might have been.
Wasn't it Julius?
Samuel Jackson in the movie? Maybe. He might have been playing Julius. Lots of coincidences that we always come across in the show.
Do we actually have two Juliuses in one show?
And both black men besides, too.
That's a great song by Fish, by the way. Julius, you know that song? Oh, it's a great one. Anyway.
Yes.
I guess you're not into Fish, though.
No. So you're going to tell me not, I have to do this?
Horror High.
Horror High.
Yes.
Oh, this is going to be easy. This is easy to figure out. I'm sure, and there's no write-up you could have confused me with, so I'm going to figure this one out.
Okay, here's your three choices. What is Horror High? A nerdy high school super whiz experiments with a chemical which transforms him into a monster to get revenge on the students and teachers who torment him.
Okay,
Horror High. Possibility number two, a group of horror film obsessed high school losers thwart the plans of an evil politician who they think is a vampire.
Okay.
In Horror High, version 3, a deadly strain of LSD turns a mod college party into a major horror show. Oh, that's also from last... I recycled that from last show.
What the hell? I was going to say that one, too.
Sorry.
That sounds familiar.
I know.
I'll say it's number one.
Correct. All right. Where's my bell? Here we go. There you go. The new bell.
You're pathetic, man. Yes. The limp bell.
I had to... This is my only bell I have.
All right. Let's hear it. Let's
Horror
hear it.
High. Yes. Here you go. Horror High.
Meet Vernon Potts. This is what they did to him. Watch him as he turns into a beast, too grotesque to believe, and terrorizes his teachers.
In a crooked hallway.
See Vernon Potts turn on to become the demon of Horror High.
I make that out to be a laboratory beaker, Lieutenant.
We found it close to the coach's body.
The world's most evil teenage mind creates terror for the school that becomes known as Horror High. A distorted trip into the nightmare of death.
Well, you know how some drugs can change a person mentally? Well, I've been trying to prove that you can change them physically as well.
See the terror that stalks the hallowed halls of Horror High.
Horror High.
Vernon, where is Mr. Monk?
He's dead. He was part of the experiment.
He looks like me when
That's
I was
why
a kid.
I've got to give it up.
He does.
There's a maniac running loose around here, and two people dead already. You're gonna have to play with the big boys today, huh?
The jocks victimizing the nerd as usual.
In the locker room.
Do you dare enroll in Horror High?
Horror High.
What the hell is that ungodly sound you're making?
See all pro John Nyland as another victim of Vernon.
All pro? Football player?
Yeah, football.
John Nyland.
Opening soon in this area.
In this area. With your glass windows.
It's a scream. It's a blast.
How is it like Bleeding Skull?
That's the website. BleedingSkull.com converted that into a digital. So thank you, BleedingSkull.com. But they would never get away with making a movie like that now because of Columbine and all that.
Yeah.
Like people and students and teachers getting like murdered in a high school.
Right.
It would never fly now.
And of course, like, you know, all the police standing outside with guns just shooting 500 rounds of ammunition to the guys. He comes out of that school. You know, that never happens in real life, unfortunately. But
and they had the all-pro football player, the obscure
John
football player.
John Nyland, whatever his name was.
And that was 1974, that movie, of course.
That's pretty scary. Again, I use the Exorcist as a guideline for like when the make-break point of horror started. Yeah. Well, that was a year after that. They couldn't come up with a better film than that.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, my God.
All right, so time for the next film.
Yeah.
The next trailer, piss-poor movie trailer.
And you're saying this one is an all-time classic.
I don't even know what to say about this one. It's called Little Red Riding Hood and the Monsters.
Red Riding Hood and the Monsters. Okay, yes. I have to figure this out. It doesn't seem easy for me to figure out, right?
Okay, yes. Number one, a 43-year-old businessman fakes his own death to free himself from his mundane existence.
Okay.
Option number two, a young girl living in the projects tries to put on a play while dealing with drug dealers, gangs, prostitutes, and the police.
Okay.
Option number three, fairy tale characters and wacky monsters go on a crazy adventure.
It sounds like it got to be two.
The young girl living in the projects?
Yeah. No.
No, it is fairy tale characters and wacky monsters go on a crazy adventure.
No.
Yes.
And, what year is this from?
1962, actually.
This is inexplicable, right? This is like, you see, he's unbelievable beyond.
Here you go.
Okay.
Now the famous characters of the fairy tale world together for the first time. It's all new when K. Gordon Murray presents Little Red Riding Hood and the Monsters. See the Wicked Witch and all her bad guys. Bad guys? Mr. Hurricane.
Oh, my God.
The Robot.
The Robot.
Carrot Head.
Carrot Head.
And the Siamese Twins, two in one.
Two in one?
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
A giant spectacle in color with a story children and grown-ups will never forget. Little Red Riding Hood and the Monsters. And introducing a new character, Little Tom Thumb.
Midget kid?
With all the many friends of Riding Hood, Stinky the Skunk, the not-so-ferocious wolf, and the friendly red-headed ogre.
Yes, yes, yes! No! No, 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 no!
They're bashing each other on the head.
Little Tim Ball and Shoes.
Suspense.
Danger.
Danger.
Little Tom Thumb shooting a dragon with his full shot.
He gets some sort of vampire magician. Excitement.
Give it to me.
Come and get it all, Mickey Doll. Stinky.
It's my turn, Stinky. Come on. Let me
have it. Sorry,
little skunk creature.
Come on.
Ready?
Throw it to me!
All fighting the craziest, funniest, silliest monsters ever brought to the screen. Hear a whole new music score with many new songs.
What the hell is going on in this film?
You are just a playful rascal, but I know I'll find you near. He can smell you, and I'll catch you.
Yeah, obviously, a 40-year-old woman singing 3 years.
We have got to find no way to fly with my intelligence
and with my experience.
It's an 80-year-old girl singing for a 40-year-old.
She hates gladness if you want.
She's not even singing the song.
This is so bizarre.
It's all in the K. Gordon Murray presentation. Little Red Riding Hood.
She must have like shot herself at it.
In color scope.
She must have shot herself in this film.
In color scope.
Right.
What is up with that movie?
People have to watch that.
Little Red Riding Hood and the Monsters.
She had to have. Whoever this woman had to commit suicide after this movie came out. You know?
I gotta see this movie now.
It's so unbelievably bad. You think you couldn't top the other one we just saw? That one is like the all time.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, the costuming is just like it's like horrible.
I must see this movie. Wow. So another
and the Monsters.
There's like no limit to the bad trailers out there, huh?
Yeah, thank you for providing those.
Yeah. All right. Well, coming up after the break, what do we have?
A breakdown?
A little break. What do we have after
the
break?
Do it quick. Well, we can do some weekly word perception and ponderings. We haven't done those in a long time.
You want to just start that now?
Why not?
Without taking a musical break?
We're taking a lot of musical breaks this program.
Well, I'm trying to do more. It breaks things up a little bit. You know, it's good for the show.
It's the name Musical Break.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. If I can find the proper music for the feature. Yes. Weekly world perceptions and ponderings. It's the ever wonder, ever notice observational humor of Mr. Mad Mike Masters.
And somebody.
And some I've done.
Yes.
What do
and
we
these
have?
Actually take us back from anything with Money Magazine number 3. There's some actually really great ones in here.
Yes. Here we go.
Okay.
Get ready. Get ready.
Well, ever notice.
Yes.
Here we go. Ever notice how sick and violent most nursery rhymes really are?
Ah, that relates to what we just saw. Yeah,
I mean, they really. I mean, you know, think about the nursery rhymes and what's going on in these nursery rhymes.
I know, baking blackbirds into a cake,
you know, cutting off tails with carving knives.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Pretty sick, huh? When someone dies in their sleep, doctors always say it's due to natural causes, instead of admitting the fact that the person was actually killed by boogeymen or gremlins.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, the natural causes is the guy gets you off the hook every time.
Yeah,
right. Hey, everyone ever notice how cereal boxes have photo enlargements on them to show us the texture of the individual pieces, as if this will somehow bring us some added pleasure, comfort, or reassurance about the cereal?
Yeah.
Why is that enlarged to show texture? For what reason? For what reason?
Well, let's look at the Life cereal. Yeah, look at that.
Enlarged to show texture.
Giant texture on the Life cereal. Look at that.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Notice how they put those black circles over the more graphic areas of porno ads, as if we're supposed to use our imagination at this point.
Yeah. Wonder what's under there.
How when you were a kid, your mother warned you. Ever notice how when you were a kid, your mother warned you about strangers touching you in public, which was a nice way of saying, don't let some deranged pedophile probe and fondle your genitals.
Well, you had to be a little nicer.
What are you trying to say there?
It's a delicate subject matter.
Ever noticed the incredibly idiotic design of public restroom sink faucets,
faucets, which only allow you to wash one hand at a time, is if this makes your life easier somehow. Remember those faucets that are hot on one side and cold the other?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad. I think they still do that in some places. What's
with that?
Occasionally
see that, but it was like one spout hot, one was cold. You couldn't even use them. It was like one was
and it was the odd. You're going back and forth. It was like some kind of sick, twisted joke.
They can never get that right.
Okay.
Ever.
Ever notice the pathetically stupid names we give to features of natural terrain, such as knoll, glen, bluff, and mound? Ever notice how French people are always eating glands? Why are they always eating
glands? Yeah, like sweetbreads. Ugh.
Ever notice that the universal answer to any question can be, I don't recall?
Yes.
Very useful.
I'll remember that one.
Ever notice how all high school geometry teachers are notorious morons?
Yeah.
Every geometry teacher I know is a moron. Like, you go teach geometry, they couldn't teach anything else. Let's see. You ever notice, Frank, that how many people don't have a favorite piece of wood?
I do notice that. I do.
You think more people have a more favorite piece of wood?
I know. I sure wish that I had a favorite piece of wood.
Ever noticed how black people win hands down when it comes to creatively naming their kids?
Yes.
They are very creative in naming their kids.
Creative children names from the black people, yes.
Exactly. Ever noticed that no matter what they say, okay, a watch pot does eventually boil no matter what they say?
Yes, there's a certain phrase, a watched pot never boils. But if you sit and watch a pot, it will eventually boil.
Exactly.
So that phrase is invalid. Thank you.
Ever notice what a pleasant sensation you experience when you spill hot coffee on your groin?
Well, I, as someone that spills coffee on himself pretty much every day of my life, occasionally on the groin area, it is not a very pleasant topic.
Here's another one. Ever notice how they ruin everyone's fun by putting spikes and barriers in between escalators to prevent people from using sliding boards?
I still see that every day, like in the New York City subway system, they have these like mounds and little discs and spikes.
You can't slide down like a slide, right?
But the bottom line is you would get to your job faster if you could slide down those things.
Really,
you know?
I think for the daring people, they should leave the damn spikes and pumps out, so you just go slide down it.
It's probably just for insurance reasons.
Exactly. Ever notice that around New Year's, everyone idiotically says, "See you next year," to be cute?
And that is still universal. Every year, I notice that, and people say that, "Oh, well, see you next year."
Oh, funny. Ever notice how the phrase, "May I help you?" is a thinly disguised version of, "Yeah, what the fuck do you want?"
Yeah, that definitely.
Oh, may I help you?
May I help you?
Ever notice how a woman's restroom is set up like a beauty salon, where a men's room is more like a reminiscence of a truck stop?
I don't know. I've never been in a women's restroom. I don't know what you're doing in women's restrooms, making these observations, Mike. I don't know.
Someone told me.
They
have like couches in there.
Yeah. you're hanging out in there.
Ever wonder what would happen if the entire population of Africa was suddenly teleported into the Soviet Union? Can you imagine? You ever wonder that?
I guess we wrote that back when there was a Soviet Union. That would be interesting, though.
That would be
the best reality show ever.
Let's watch as South Africa is teleported into Russia.
Yes.
Ever wonder why they bother to put out new and improved versions of the same old product? As if they're deliberately trying to show you that we've been getting ripped off by buying the old kind for some reason before that. Ever wonder why, if a credit card is so valuable and potentially dangerous if lost or stolen, the bank send them to you via the U.S. Postal Service?
That's true.
Ever wonder about cereal commercials which depict an entire family gathered around and playing with a little toy that one of the kids got out of the box? As if this occurs in real life.
Yeah.
They do commercials like that anymore? They don't. Remember those commercials where they enticed you to buy this cereal because it's going to be this family fun toy. It's going to come out of the box of Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
That never happened. Like, kids, let's gather around the table. We got a new toy out of the box of cereal to play with tonight.
It's a Captain Crunch submarine. The whole family's fascinated by it.
Ever wonder why, whenever someone tries on your glasses, they say, "You're blind," and never simply, "Oh, you have a mild ocular disorder."
Yeah.
They never say that. It's like, "Oh, you're blind." Ever wonder who is sabotaging the U.S. space program and why?
Well,
does it have something to do with Tang?
We wrote that before, all these other space disasters. How many other space shuttles have blown up?
Yeah, right. Here we go, Frank. We wrote this back then, and it's true today. Ever wonder why Mormons are so big on polygamy? As if having more than one wife to come to at home at night would even be remotely pleasurable or relaxing.
Well, there's that TV show, Big Love, that deals with that topic. Very interesting show.
Is that show gone now?
It's not coming back.
God, why? Why?
Come on, Jennifer Goodwin. Come on.
Ever wonder why people say, that's a good question, when obviously asked a question to which they haven't any conceivable answer, as if the purpose of asking a good question is not to be answered in the first place.
I should say that when you ask me those difficult questions. I should say, that's a good question, and I don't recall.
I don't recall. You get out of it every time.
Exactly.
Ever wonder why people shout, oh, God, at sexual climax, as if they're trying to grab his attention at this point to show off or something?
Yeah, based on what we saw in Evil Bible, you want to not grab that guy's attention.
Ever wonder what would happen if you photocopied a mirror?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Ever wonder why parents are so surprised when their kids spit out baby food, as if the grown-ups themselves would eat it?
Yeah.
You ever tasted baby food? Ever wonder if some of the morons you encounter were supposed to be reincarnated as rodents or mollusks, but instead, by some cosmic error, became human beings instead?
I do often wonder that.
Ever wonder why people think they're so cool when they walk around the house while brushing their teeth?
I think that's a universal thing, because I know, like, sometimes, you know, you're brushing your teeth and you're like, oh, I got to go on the computer, look something up, and you're just...
I never walk around the house brushing my
teeth,
like, ever.
You feel... That is the coolest ever. You feel like $1 million. Try it out sometime. Just...
I have the electric toothbrush. I can't walk around the house. There'd be stuff all over the house.
Because you're just brushing and you're walking around looking at stuff.
That does sound like...
Yeah.
Ever wonder why no one can resist the urge to stare at midgets, cripples, or retarded people in public? You cannot resist the urge when that happens.
why are you... I'm walking around the house.
It's good. That was great.
Yes.
What happened to the theme music?
Oh, we gotta go back to that. And now, continuing with Weekly World Perceptions.
A few more. Ever wonder how the manufacturers of barbed wire determine the extent of physical injury their product will cause?
That's a good question.
Ever wonder why they call it a vacuum cleaner when the machine does absolutely nothing in the way of tidying the emptiness of space?
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
And this is true. All right. Here, this is true, Ben. True now. Ever wonder how you would feel if Michael Jackson beat the shit out of you?
That is the best question ever. It would feel... Well, I would love... It would be great in that you could talk about it afterwards. Like, Michael Jackson beat the shit out of me.
Yeah.
But at the time, I guess it would be a bit painful. I don't know.
Here we go.
Yeah.
This also just recently came up in the news. Everything in the news comes full circle.
Yeah.
Ever wonder how they determine what the 7 wonders of the world would be? And what the criteria for being a wonder of the world actually is. And our great artist at the time rendered some little drawings at the bottom of the page where he put down the Great Pyramids, yes. The Great Wall, yes. The Minnesota Lumber Dog, no. 40-foot tall dog made of lumber. And the String Palace, no, also. Here we go, a couple more. Ever wonder why they're called appetizers? When all they do is spoil your appetite for the main course. And ever wonder why some toilet paper is scented? As if your ass will smell this way after you wipe it. And who is smelling it afterwards anyway? And that has been this week's version of
Weekly World Perceptions and Ponderings. See, that we really need the echo sound effect for that.
Weekly World. Yeah, you have the echo sound effect for that?
I don't have it yet.
As a show, is this show still under construction, is what you're trying to say?
We need to buy the echo effect. The
echo effect.
Yeah. Yes.
Excellent.
So we're getting closer. We only have a few minutes left before the credits start rolling. So what did you want to cover before then?
Why do I have to come up with everything to cover in the show?
Huh?
I came up with, answering this Dr. Nora.
Yeah.
The perception of ponderings here. There's the news stories here. You know, speaking of the Bible, you hear the latest outcry? You know, outcry cancels chocolate Jesus show. Did you see that whole thing?
But what is that?
A planned Holy Week exhibition of a nude, anatomically correct chocolate sculpture of Jesus Christ was canceled Friday after Cardinal Edward Egan and other outraged Catholics complained.
Oh, God.
The exhibit, My Sweet Lord, display was shut down by the hotel that houses the Lab Gallery in Midtown Manhattan. Roger Smith Hotel President James Knoll slated the public outcry for the decision.
So this guy actually made a sculpture. You can actually don't see it here. The actual sculpture of Jesus in chocolate.
Yeah.
So,
What was the name of it? My Sweet Lord.
That was actually the name of the display. I guess after the George Harrison song. But there's actually a big outcry because someone had to go out and make
I have to agree with the clergy on this one because these artists are running out of ideas. Do you remember a long time ago, a guy made something called Piss Christ, right? It was really controversial. It was a picture of Jesus in a bottle of urine. And that is art. Okay, these artists.
You're making that up, right?
No, you know Piss Christ.
No, I don't know Piss Christ.
Where have you been? Where have you been? Piss Christ was huge.
What rock have you been under? You don't know about Piss Christ.
You don't know about Piss Christ? I guarantee there'd be a million. Look. A million pictures of Piss Christ on there. It was just a picture of Jesus, like a little Jesus on the cross in a bottle of piss. And so the guy really just had like a jar of urine and sat it down in the gallery. This is art, great art. And it was so controversial. How is that art? Anyone could take a picture of Jesus and put it in piss.
That's great.
And they're like, he's the first guy that thought of it. And that, there's all these pictures of it. Very controversial.
Blasphemer.
But this guy's like, They realize if they do anything with Jesus, I'm going to put Jesus in piss. I'm going to make Jesus out of chocolate. But he's going to be naked. Like, anytime they do anything like that, they know they're going to get publicity. It's not art. It's not creative.
I have to go. We have to get this into this show.
What?
Because I just saw that big pumpkinhead Rosie O'Donnell again, and I got to get that. We got to sneak that in here.
All right. What is it?
I harangued and ranted and raved. I think it was episode 6, right?
Yeah.
About The View. Because I can't stand that show.
Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah, and company. And of course, the show happens to get the highest review ratings since she's been on the damn show for whatever inexplicable reason.
Yeah.
But, in the news recently this week, if you didn't notice, Meredith Vieira, who's now with Matt Lauer on whatever show they do together in the morning.
God only knows what kind of shows they do.
Whatever they do. She was also on The View at one time. Before she jumped ship. But Meredith Vieira took a spill this week on the ice. Ice skater was on the show, and she slipped. You know those skating mishaps you have when you're on the ice, and you kind of fall backwards?
Yeah, all the ice skating that I do, yeah.
Yeah, but she fell backwards, right, literally, in this way, and she smacks her coconut right on the ice. And it was one of those moments for a brief second, like, this woman's unconscious, right?
Here you go. Here's Meredith Vieira's falling.
Here it is. Here it is. Watch.
Could I make it under your legs?
Watch her. Watch what happens.
Let's try.
With Will Ferrell. With Blades of
Glory.
They're at Rockefeller Center.
Watch what happens to her. And watch for a split second, she goes down, and you think she's going to stay down. Watch. Watch.
Oh, she cracked her skull.
I'll be right back after this. I need a little help.
Oh, my gosh.
Will Ferrell kills news host.
This is today on NBC.
She's like stunned.
Dude, she went down, and when she went down and hit that ice, for a split second there, she wasn't getting up.
Yeah, just imagine.
Watch. We'll go to here
she's going through his legs. Clock. Clock.
Oh. That's a massive whiplash right there.
Nothing ever happens.
She's okay. She's okay.
Unfortunately.
All right, great.
But then again, of course, now we have Rosie O'Donnell here. Rosie's controversial view.
Yeah.
And, oh, God.
She's controversial. What do you want?
The big whole thing on the show is that she goes at it with, Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Yeah.
This little brat that was on the on Survivor.
An Ann Coulter wannabe.
Yeah. And basically, she's basically the very conservative 29-year-old, and
she likes Bush.
Yeah, she likes Bush.
Yeah.
And, and she has to go at it with her all the time, and they hate each other.
Yeah.
So,
one is liberal and one's conservative, and watch the sparks fly. Great.
Here we go. Listen, this is want to make you throw up.
Okay.
When these people go out of here.
Yeah.
Cause behind that.
Well, there are many, many ways to think of it, but historically, have governments ever faked incidents or incited incidents in order to get them into wars? Nations.
Now she's talking about the she's trying to talk about conspiracy theory now, bringing up that 9/11 was actually caused by George W. Bush and his henchmen. Which, of course,
actually by the Illuminati commanding them, but
yes,
that's the theory.
That's a theory, which is okay if we talk about it, but we don't want to hear Rosie O'Donnell talk about it because anything comes out of her mouth sounds like stupid, right? So here we go.
Yeah.
I think you guys have that
happened historically.
I'm sure it has. I don't think this is the case right here. I don't think that there was a conspiracy between Bush and Tony Blair to put these soldiers in as pawns so that we can jump into Iran. I think we're going to try
people
to use other
dumb.
Methods to yeah. stop their program.
An admiral who asked that we use diplomatic methods to get out of
Who's
it.
Who's that?
And that's
Marcia Gay Harden.
I wish that we would. I mean, I wish everybody would
don't care what you have to say.
And compromise. And sometimes you have to give something up in order to achieve something better. Peace.
The hell is she talking about?
To do that.
She's talking out her ass.
Those ideologies that are not being talked about.
Stick to acting.
What would a diplomatic compromise be? What would a diplomatic summit be?
Stick to acting.
It's very hard in America when anyone from the Mideast has been so demonized that no matter what, it's impossible for some people to believe that the Iranians in any way could ever do anything ethical.
They can't.
In any capacity. That they've somehow been dehumanized to the point where they're not people. They're just the enemy. They're terrorists.
We're not talking about the Iranian people. We're talking about their government, who essentially has total control over them. They essentially have zero say in
that
government.
That's how people see us, I hope, in the world.
That's right. Our government, right? People, I hope people across the world don't think what George Bush is doing represents the American people, because the last election showed it does not.
But let me ask you this. Like, what concerns me is that there's this environment now where we're almost more apt to trust our enemies than our allies. And that's very concerning to me.
But that is concerning when nearly everyone in
the Bush administration for that. Completely
is that Joy Behar?
Joy Behar.
Much more than I trust our enemies on the war on terror.
Wait, would you say, Elizabeth, that you trust enemies. The Bush administration as much as you did when he first took office?
Pause.
Will you admit?
That's a good question.
You know what? In a time of war, I think you are in a position where you have to
What a bunch of... This administration is under indictment or suspicion. Mm-hmm. Nearly every person, from Karl Rove to Rumsfeld to Gonzalez.
Yes, we should still support them. In a time of war.
Yap, yap, yap.
That's you.
Monica
Lewinsky.
They're going over the same shit over and over again. Monica, this and that.
Brush that off.
Here we go. Now Elizabeth is going to talk about how she's going to try to compare what Bush is doing now, okay, and make it equivalent to Bill Clinton getting the blowjob.
Yeah.
She's going to try to make Bill Clinton's blowjob sound worse than what Bush is doing now, okay?
All right, let's check it out.
Here we go.
Be Monica, and I'm going to be discreet because your daughter's here.
Okay.
But let me tell you, while he was enjoying himself, there were things going on in this world. Namely, three times he could have had Osama bin Laden within his scope, and he was too busy to try to ask him.
Oh, in his scope.
What the hell are they talking about?
I'm sure he was doing nothing but enjoying himself.
No, I don't think so. I think his store.
The other guy was his bad. The other guy was his bad.
It was annoying.
From what the real issue is, and the issue is, but even you worded a war on terror. I think personally that is propaganda.
Exactly, Marcia Gay. Thank you,
Marcia Gay.
Oh,
of course, Rosie can't call her Marcia Gay Harden. It's Marcia Gay.
Just, yeah,
she obviously named herself Gay so she could, you know,
yeah,
for Rosie's sake.
Yeah,
so you're Marcia Gay.
Learning of it like that.
Into evil and good.
Evil doers.
Johnny,
whatever his name is. He's a bad guy. He's a very bad guy.
Boy, I'm not saying.
Explicitly, he wants to wipe Israel off the map. This guy is a bad guy.
Of course, Joan Behar has to step up for the Jews.
Yeah.
You know, he's a bad guy. That guy who's running the Iran land over there, he's a bad guy, that guy over there in Iran. Over there, he's bad.
Yeah, but I have to...
He's a good guy.
It's still going? Okay.
We are fed propaganda, and if you want to know what's happening in the world, go outside of the U.S.
and listen to Rosie O'Donnell.
It's owned by four corporations. One of them is this one.
She's biting the hand that feeds her.
Outside of the country to find out what's going on in our own country, because it's frightening. It's frightening.
Yeah, well, people have something called the internet. They can get that news if they want.
Yeah. I think not.
What are you talking about?
It's frightening.
The way it hasn't been in 200 years, and if America doesn't stand up, we're in big trouble.
Yeah, great.
Big trouble. You're babbling.
We'll have a war here.
You know, the I don't know who's stupider in this whole group. I really don't. You know, but why put these people on? Why put somebody on that basically has something to say?
Exactly.
You know, instead of these people.
Is that it?
I know you want to end it.
Yes.
You know, but
we got to end it. Yes. The credits are starting to roll. But I just want to say something very, very briefly. People talking about what?
Put the mic up so I can hear myself. How about that?
You are hearing yourself.
All right, go ahead.
People are now saying 9/11 was an inside job. George Bush, the United States government, did 9/11. They're saying that. They're saying this stuff, right? But they're trying to cast a negative light on the United States of America. When if that conspiracy is so friggin' insane and unbelievable, then the Illuminati aspect would be totally believable at that level, right?
Right, right, yeah.
So the Illuminati are foreign. They're not from America. They're from Europe and stuff.
Right.
So if it was anything, it was Illuminati foreigners committing a terrorist act. So they're still right. Foreign terrorists. Don't malign America because of this. It's right. Not... So the whole point of this 9/11 truth movement is like wrecking the reputation of America, whereas it was not America that did it. So I am very against that aspect of the 9/11 truth movement, though obviously it was all a staged event, but beyond that.
Just like the moon landing was.
Moon landing, global warming, and 9/11 all brought to you by your friendly neighborhood Illuminati. Yes. Anyway, our credits are rolling here.
I hope you, if you were listening to the show for the first time, enjoyed it, and you'll join a little cavalcade of fun. Every week here at the end of the Monday show, we happen to feel it's one of the best shows you could possibly listen to on podcasting today. And we love bringing it to you, and I can't believe it's fucking 2:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
And is that what time it is? I have to drive you home?
Yes. Oh. And as we sit here in the theater and the credits are rolling, so many people work on this show. A lot of people are hearing the show for the first time. You don't know how many people actually work on the Anything But Monday show to make it happen. And every week we'd like to thank a couple of the people that on the credits that are rolling right now. For example... A lot of different jobs, a lot of different positions. Of course, I just want to point out Irene Tynes and William Forces. They are our crane topplers. Of all the jobs, of all of our Sasquatch arrangers and all of our furniture anomaly neutralizers.
Brazilian waxers.
The crane topplers are probably the most important. Because as you know, even though we're on the internet, we're sort of broadcasting a signal,
right?
And there's these people, they're trying to build these skyscrapers all around us all the time, right? And they have these cranes and they're building these giant buildings. It's going to block the signal. No one can get the Anything But Monday show. So we hired crane topplers. We had two of them, Irene Tynes and William Forces. They go out and they figure out ways to topple the cranes and ruin the construction projects. And then the next day they'll bring another crane, put another crane up. Irene and William, we call them Bill and Irene. Out there next day, toppling more cranes. And
thank you for your support.
The signal is clear, and we really want to thank Irene and William for all of their help for toppling the cranes.
Right.
And of course, we would be remiss, of course, and I know we don't like talking about this that much, but of course, Moody Belvedere, our dinosaur butler. We don't like to talk about the dinosaurs too much, but we do have a vast collection of dinosaurs out back.
Yeah.
We have stegosauruses, ankylosauruses, and...
Diplodocuses.
And they're very, they're a little bit hoity-toity, and they want their dinosaur treats given to them at the right time.
I almost lost a finger to a pterodon last week.
Yeah, so we got Moody Belvedere. He's a dinosaur butler.
He's good at what he does.
He's like if you think about like a real butler, like the guy, oh, hello, sir. Mm. But he does it for the dinosaurs. Oh, hello, Mr. Ankylosaurus. What can I get you today? And, he'll say like, oh, give me a dinosaur treat, Moody. Yeah. And he'll bring him a dinosaur. So he basically does all the butler work.
What actually makes him so good? I heard he's actually a dinosaur whisperer as well.
He is a dinosaur whisperer. And we had a couple stegosauri that were out of control. They were wrecking the studio every day, and he basically calmed them down.
Yep.
And they've been reformed. They're living a much better life now. So,
yep, excellent.
So, Irene, William, and Moody, thank you so much for all your help on the show and everyone else. We can't mention everyone. Coming out of the last 30 seconds now, what do you have to say to the people?
I have to say thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking this free ride. And hopefully you'll see it valuable enough to join us every week here at the Monday show. Spend a little bit of your hard-earned money for some great entertainment and support a great cause, a pioneering cause of the internet today. Premium podcasting, the new wave of the future.
And independent media forever. Good night.